Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 25th day of August, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Phil's testimony, They Shall See His Face, Revelation 22:4, Victims of SRA, Satanic Ritual Abuse, Government Transparency, and Whom Do We Trust? I see you there, Phil. I'll get you in just a second. Before we begin the call, we do dedicate this to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. Kumru Ambeth. We are in the question and answer mode, and we will take calls later on in the program. Our website is www.PastorDan, and that's all together, no spaces, PastorDan.net. Also want to let you know there's a YouTube channel, and it is Yahweh Yahshua, and that's all together, no spaces. Yahweh Yahshua, you might want to check that out. And again, I'll put out a plug for John Mark, the other YouTube channel. Lots and lots of good information there. So, let's see here. Trying to figure out how to use this new system we got here. So, I need to contact them and let them know it's not as user friendly as the old one. So I'm trying. Phil, I see you there, but it's not giving me the option, unless you can hear me. Let's see. To bring you on to the call. Let's see if that works. Phil, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Ah, okay. So it's just, yep, now, like I said, this new beta version they got here, it looks better than the old, but the software itself doesn't work as well as the old one does. So it's a shoot from the hip type of situation, trying to figure out how to make it do what the old one did, if you understand what I mean. So how are you doing today, Phil?
I'm doing wonderful, actually. So I'm on your show. It's a beautiful sunny day out. It's blue sky. I'm sitting here having a drink of coffee, and I just wanted to share and be part of a, you know, let people know what's really going on. And as you of course know, I had written down a chronicle of the things that happened a couple of days ago, and remembrance of things that happened some 19 years ago, and I thought that it would be very interesting for your listeners to hear what's going on and what the very bizarre coincidences that all occurred.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for folks that have been listening for a while, they know who you are, and also it wouldn't be appropriate probably go into any kind of a bio. So if you want to go into the discussion of that situation that you were referring to, we can do that now if you wish.
Okay, well, I decided to chronicle it down on a piece of paper, and actually a few series of papers, and I just figured I'd just read it to you.
Okay.
It says, here's what it says. Back around the year 2000, I had got a job working for a medical records copy service that contracts with hospitals and clinics. I worked out of my house and never actually went to the main office except one time. My direct supervisor was named Michelle. I was a bit taken aback by her when we first met, since she wore a pinstripe suit and a red tie. She resembled in the face my friend Todd from elementary school with wire-rimmed glasses. She had been married to a man for a number of years, and they had a beautiful daughter named Katie. But Michelle had decided she preferred women and embraced the lesbian option and got a divorce. She and her ex still got along just fine, although he was very disappointed in her decision. I met him, and he was a very intelligent, likable man who honestly resembled myself in many ways. Michelle's new live-in girlfriend was an absolutely beautiful brunette who was a spitting image of Marianne from Gilligan's Island. I felt so sad that a person who I looked up as one of my dream girls growing up would not want what I had to offer as a man. How sad.
Hey, Phil.
I visited the house to talk about business and pick up supplies a few times each month. Oftentimes, I would see Katie. She was a beautiful little Aryan child with golden blonde hair and blue eyes. She was outgoing and friendly with an infectious personality. I once helped make cookies with her one afternoon in the kitchen. Her parents had a joint custody situation, and she spent every other week between her mother and father, who only lived a few blocks away. He was a very responsible and decent father.
Hey, Phil?
Yes?
Yeah. Hey, I'm getting notes here. Your volume is a little bit on the low side, so either get closer to the mic, speak up, or adjust it.
Okay, let me see what I can do. Is this better?
Yeah, that is better, yes.
Okay. One day, Katie met this other girl with whom she became friends with. She was just a little older, and they would go play outside during recess. I believe I saw her once. She was about average height with dark brown hair and rather odd look about her. A smile that just did not seem genuine. Michelle said to me that she was a bit concerned about this person seeing Katie because for some reason she was never seen at the school or in class. It did not seem right. One day I went to the house and was discussing business with Michelle. I believe I have a good sense of reading people's feelings, and I thought something was just not right. So I asked her, "Michelle, is there something wrong with you today? If there is, anything I can do to make feel free to ask. Phil, can you keep a secret? I really need to talk to a man right now." My imagination was running wild. We then went into the other room. Well, she told me that little Katie had been missing, and the authorities feared the worst, that she may have been kidnapped, and they think they knew who did it. I asked, who is it, and she said she cannot say just yet. I, being a good little Judeo-Christian boy, did not have my rifle and shotgun with me. That would be too judgmental, and we are to forgive our enemies and wait for someone else to do it. Feeling powerless, I did the next best thing, and I asked her if she would like to pray about it. No, I don't believe in those kinds of things, but if you want to, you can do it on your own. I certainly won't object. So I did. I kept it a secret and told no one, not even my live-in girlfriend at the time. It was just me in the Most High, alone, with nobody else to talk to. It was an empowering and yet agonizing, lonely experience. After all, the Bible says, if two or more are gathered in my name, I am with you. It never talks about just one. But knowing the truth of who God's children are, I wanted to make damn certain the message was getting through to the right father and not some blood-sucking Jew God. My earthly father is a German. We kind of know the difference, and an Aryan princess was in danger. I was mad as hell and wanted to put on my field gray uniform and go kill someone. I did not give a damn if we lost the last time. In the final battle, we will win. This is all that counts. And so I waited, and about a week later, I went over to the house again. There had been some serious developments. Michelle finally broke the news that it was a nationwide satanic network that they suspect had taken her. I could not believe it. Pure evil in my own backyard. She pointed out the unmarked cars, both in the front of the house and in the back. They were undercover FBI agents putting the house under 24-hour a watch in case these devils show up. Michelle showed me a box she had been given with lots and lots of detailed information. There even was an article from Newsweek magazine from the 70s. It has been around for a very long time. I saw a picture of one of them. He wore eye contacts to remember there was no little fly, like Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, devil god, worshipped in Gaza during Bible times. This was something out of a fantasy story that had become a nightmare. interesting to note that I was listening to Coast to Coast AM, which, by the way, I don't very well often listen to. A few weeks back, they were talking about researchers at CERN trying to bring out these two specific entities, Demogorgon and Mind Flayers. I had known who these were from my childhood days playing Dungeons and Dragons when I was a boy. I wanted to go fight evil, and my church just sat there on their asses telling me I was going to hell if I read this stuff. That reading taught me who they are, and I remembered Mind Flayers are demonic purple creatures with tentacles coming out of their mouths that they use to suck the thoughts out of their victims. They use psionic brain powers and psychotic drugs they make in a lab to control people. They wear robes that have an eerie purple homosexual skin color. In their underground world, the female ruled and was much more powerful than the poor male of the species. As a player, they were one of the most feared enemies one could encounter. Demogorgon was the most powerful demon with a goat head and arms that were tentacles like an octopus. I had played the game because there was little to do in the winter in Indiana. I had no idea it would come back, and this knowledge might become useful in fighting the Serpent Seed. Know your enemy is the first thing a soldier should do. I had not made a mistake after all. I sort of miss not going to more needlepoint as a kid or just painting. All of my friends who played wanted a girlfriend, but they have been told men should sit in the back and seat where the niggers used to sit. Then, just a couple of days later, I get a call late in the evening. It is Michelle. She told me to come to her house first thing in the morning. I said, "What about my clients? I need to take care of them." "Do not worry. I have taken care of that." So I got there right at 8 a.m. I walk in. My prayers have been answered. Katie was free. The enemy had forgot to lock a window one day, and she had discovered it, crawled out, and ran home. Apparently, this is how it all went down. Poor Katie had become a friend to this strange girl. She was used as a plant to lure Katie into a trap. She'd been tied up and held in a trailer about 500 yards from her school. They had burned the bottom of her feet. It is extremely painful and an effective way of controlling people. People do not look at this, at the soles of the feet for signs of abuse. Plus, it would be very hard to walk, which serves their purpose well. I would also keep her less marked up and more pure for when the time comes that when she serves her purpose. She is the ideal female and the most prized in the sexual predator world because she resembles more closely Eve, the daughter of the Most High, and of course our blessed King, Jesus the Christ. They would be using her as a breeder and perform a sexual act ceremony that resembles something from out of a Masonic lodge. Her child, as a result of this union, would have been born away from hospitals or the public sphere, so there's not a record of the birth. After a while, and the child had grown somewhat, it would be taken as a human sacrifice to Baal and thrown into the fire. But thanks to the mercy of the Most High, this did not happen to this little girl I was falling in love with, because she was the daughter of Eve, which makes her my sister, my kith and kin. That makes her mine and my responsibility. Blood does not reach only to the end of a man's appendage. It goes all the way back to the beginning. And nothing in the world is more valuable than blood. Nothing. I hope you men remember that when the niggers are raping and killing our women. Get some stones if you have a pair. Now, for the second part of my prayer. Was the enemy dead? Did Thor send a thunderbolt and kill them all? Well, not yet. They were able to capture the number two person in the network, a network that is funded by none other than Warren Buffett and many others in the highest reaches of Jewish power. Goebbels, a man who got his doctorate studying 19th century German romance literature, was right when he said, "The world will fall into a deep, dark abyss if the Jews win this war." Who better to say that truth than a hopeless romantic like me? When they entered the trailer, I was told it was hell on earth. I cannot imagine what other evil they were done to Katie. She, of course, came back completely different. A bright and cheery girl was now shut down, no longer living in a world where Jews are kept in ghettos, but roaming freely, and her last great defender had left in 1945. We will have to find a new one, or die trying. This was the last I ever saw of Michelle. She told me to take all the equipment and supplies and drive to the office in Tampa. She, her girlfriend, and her ex-husband and father of Katie are all going with Katie to an undisclosed location for their own safety. They were under FBI Witness Protection Program, and they were leaving everything in a couple of hours. The devils had left messages on her answering machine saying they are going to kill us all if we do not give her back to them. Their prized possession is not theirs, but Yahweh's. When will there be payback? I kept everything a secret for some time. My girlfriend and I broke up because she decided that McDonald's fries was better than having a candlelight dinner with the man who put a roof over her head, even after I sent her balloons. So much for following the rule book in this crazy world. All of this came back to me on a warm summer evening. I was home alone and began to remember all that had happened. I had my gun, and it did me no good. I would never know what Katie was doing. As far as I knew, she was living in this mad world with endless nightmares. No one to stop this from happening. Jesus loves everyone. Yeah, my king hates these bastards. I think he is hating my fellow soldiers for not doing anything. Well, I was pondering these thoughts. A friend of mine shows up at my door, who used to be an old coworker of mine from a previous job. He asked me what was wrong, as he could tell I was upset about something. I had not mentioned this to anyone, as I promised, but Michelle said for quite some time, and it had been just that. So I told him he used to go with me to Calvary Chapel years earlier when I had fallen for the glorified social club. I figured he would understand. Boy, was I wrong. He absolutely refused to believe that evil is real. It's all made up fairy tales to tell a story. Nobody ever performs these kinds of things in reality. Steve, don't you know these tales come from sources of truth? You just changed the names to not offend anyone. An army of orcs invading the land and taking the fairy princess away or raping her is no different than a bunch of jungle coon niggers invading our land. The end result is the same. The truth is the same. And if you call a spade, it can be fun killing orcs. He got my dander up, as you could imagine. Well, he refused to listen. He began to worry I might be something harsh and actually get angry and do something. I just sat there calmly drinking my beer and once or twice slamming my fist into the table in rage. I said, Steve, when in the hell are people going to wake up? That's what pisses me off the most. I was not born to sit on my ass watching a bunch of coons playing ball. This shit is serious business. He was scared I had upset his apple cart and interfered with his comfort zone. He left, and about a half hour later, a sheriff's deputy arrived at my door. He asked if I was all right, and I said yes. He looked at Steve and looked at me and told me to put my arms around my back. I was cuffed and taken to PEMS, the Pinellas Emergency Mental Health Service Center. I had been Baker-acted. I was a crazy person. Under the law, anyone who can have you Baker-acted if you can show probable cause that you may, be a danger to yourself or someone else. I guess Steve thought I got a little too angry. Too angry? If only he knew what I wanted to do. Well, I was asked how I was feeling and if I was thirsty. I said, just fine. Just fine. Nothing is wrong. This has been a big mistake, but I could use some orange juice. They handed me a cup with four pills, two yellow and two white. Take these. You will feel much better. I went and sat down on the sofa, starting reading what was there. Guidepost magazine my mother used to subscribe to for years, Good Grief. Then it started. Within a few minutes, my testicles began to feel larger and larger. It was like they had turned into bowling balls. I knew they were wanting to question me. Perhaps in Steve's act of kindness, he had planted the idea that perhaps I may know more than I do about the group of Satanists I wanted dead, that I just was not letting them know. Well, eventually, I went into the interrogation room. Three men were there, and they asked me what I knew. I knew nothing, not a thing. I was not going to let Michelle down. If the enemy was everywhere, I knew not whose side they were on. Besides, I really knew nothing. I was just sharing with a friend. Well, I began to cry. I don't know a damn thing. Won't you believe me? One guy said, I think he is telling the truth. The other guy said, yeah, I do too. Then they closed the blinds to give me some privacy. They had me drop my pants and bend over. This guy has lasted longer than anybody. I can't believe it. I guess I had bigger stones than I thought I did. They applied some ointment to my testicles, and I was fine in about 10 minutes, but still had to stay locked up for 4 days. This last November, I was laid off after 5 years in a department-wide layoff that saw 18 people let go. This was after my company, one of the largest series of clinics in Florida, was sold to a foreign entity owned by a group of raghead Indian investors in Canada. We had been out of compliance as far as HIPAA was concerned. We were supposed to have a maximum overturn time to file records as four hours, but we had been 7 to 8 days behind at times because they would not allocate resources due to $4.5 billion sale was under review by the government. I worked a ton of overtime and was the only man in the office, though women often said I worked too much, but it gave me no stress. Not working gave me more. There was a nigger that worked with me, but he never, ever took any overtime. They were from India, secretly working remotely from overseas. They did not want us to know. We might get a little upset. So I have been out of work since November. I tried my hand at insurance, but no one there except two agents had been making anything worth living on. I had to find something. So I'd gotten a call from a recruiting company who saw my resume on ZipRecruiter and thought I would make an excellent fit for a position they had in Tampa, a release of information position specialist, where they did not say that at first. All they said was it was 21 minutes commute from my house. Would I be willing to drive there? Yes, of course. What a joke that was. Well, as it turns out, I had an interview with a company you see in the link below. Tampa Shriners Healthcare Children's Hospital. That is right. Shriners branch of Global Freemasonry. Was I to take the job and start earning a living? After all, I hear so much good things these people do for little children. What could be the harm in all that? Well, I know the truth. Hitler had thrown out these bastards out of Germany in 1935 for a reason. I wanted to seek advice from all of you. Eat or serve the beast. Why not kill the beast and then we could eat in peace? I went ahead with the interview. I figured I can say no if they decide that they would like me to work. I was sitting under a tree in my backyard like Frodo did in the Fellowship of the Ring when I took the call in front of the gentleman at the recruiting office, told me it is best if I go outside and walk around. You sound better on an interview just sitting at a table. Interesting, perhaps he knew I should look up at the sky for advice. I went into my house. I was supporting my 82-year-old mother. I joked with her, if I get this job, I guess I should take a good swig. She thought I wanted coffee, but I was thinking more along the lines of some Kentucky bourbon, and I did not drink that. Well, she gets me some coffee, and I decide to check my phone, and there is this new news, the very first thing that pops up on my phone is the following link: Satanic Temple to stage women's reproductive health rally, and in it they listed the state of Indiana, where I used to live, as one of the places they were going to try and perform one of their rallies based upon how many votes they get. Where is a vitamin supplement? No need to get drunk. I need to keep my faculties. The bastards are here, and they have not gone away. We only got one. There are a lot more. So I quickly sent it to my good friend Lori, a real blessing in these challenging times. I texted it to her phone. Ironically, when I sent it to her, I noticed that the words Children's Hospital were replaced with Children's Museum. Oh, my God, a museum is a place for the dead. Father was screaming in my ear. Now I do have a battle to rage. How do I feed my family and stop the devil? This is what the Jew system is asking for all of us. We need to form an art project to hunker down and be self-sustaining. The enemy is all around us. Will any of you fellow white warriors come to my assistance and find me a way out of this mess? Good night, my fellow Americans, my brothers in arms in Europe and South Africa. The end.
Yeah, that's quite a testimony, Phil. I was thinking while you were talking about that Liz Crokin, have you ever watched any of her videos?
No, I haven't. No.
She exposes the satanic ritual abuse quite a bit. Probably one of the most outspoken women. She gives her personal testimony as to things like what you're talking about. The fool that had you Baker acted should himself have been Baker acted for being that ignorant, knowing what's going on. But, this whole Baker Act and red flag laws, et cetera, those are tantamount to treason. And we're going to reach a point, I believe, in the very near future where anybody associated with Baker acting and or red flags will themselves become targets of either the militia or citizen soldiers, because I think the population has reached the point where they're fed up with all this garbage. It's just case after case after case where abuse, children ripped from the home because of errant child protective service people. Whether it's police, whether it's sheriffs, whether it's military, even the former Navy SEAL, Matt Bracken, recently said that anybody in uniform conducting these unconstitutional maneuvers against we the people have broken faith with the Oath Keepers, and he said, God help you, which is a veteran's way of telling another veteran that you have stepped over to the other side. And there will be no quarter shown, and God help your soul. No quarter given, no quarter asked. So we're very close to what you're talking about, Phil. The white man, even Paul Craig Roberts wrote a rather pungent article about white genocide recently, and that article was talked about on the Doug Hagman Report. It was also talked about on the Coach Dabamir channel, and it's also been mentioned by Dr. Ted Brauer, who's not far from you in Central Florida. So the word is getting out there, and I believe that we're getting very close to that point. We are told to rely on, quote, government agencies to provide protection, and we're finding out that the government agencies actually aid and abet these monsters that walk amongst us. You think that's a fair assessment?
Yes. I would like to point out something about that friend of mine, Steve. When I worked with him, he was a very hard worker, and he had gotten a job. He had left and went to go to a trade school, and he became sort of like an electrician, I guess. Well, he got... Something happened, and the doctors decided to declare him as bipolar, and he was on a cocktail of five psychotropic medications that they have given him, and they said that, you know, and to help relieve him of his stress or whatever, you know. So, and now he's utterly depressed because he can't get work. He's applied everywhere, and no one seems to hire him. So he's been taken over by the very thing that that he was telling me didn't exist.
So in the end, karma got him. He's now pumped full of pharmaceuticals, and he's basically a walking zombie.
Yeah, well, yeah, and honestly, I don't remember whether or not he was on the medications at that time or not. I do know that he's on it now, so, but he's been on it for a while.
You know, it's interesting. Are you familiar with Jeffrey Dougherty, the Christian whistleblower? He's on YouTube as well.
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, he recently did a short video that there's good news. Now listen to this, what he considers good news. He says, oh, good news, Trump signed a, I don't know if it's an executive order or what, but that gives free hospitalization care to veterans. Now, according to Dougherty, he was in the military for just over 6 years. So now he gets full medical because of this recent enactment by Trump. But my question would be, is that a good thing, or should we look at that as Trump just signed a death warrant for any veteran crazy enough to go to the VA doctors, because all they'll end up is like your friend, pumped full of chemicals, drugs, and Lord have mercy on what will happen to them, you know, in those hospitals. Even some of the doctors, like trying to think of the name. There was a doctor recently talking about, I think it was Ted Brewer, his daughter. She goes to medical school right now in Florida. And she told him just not long ago, she said, Dad, if you have an organ donor on your driver's license, get it off of there right away. And he said, why? And so she replied in cryptic language, I'm going to paraphrase. Her cryptic language was that, let's just say there are certain forces that are a little overzealous in the collecting of organs. In other words, we have people in the medical profession who will claim that you are brain dead or beyond repair simply to harvest your organs because they're worth multiple tens of millions of dollars on the open market. So, in fact, he even brought up another point, which I found quite interesting. Did you know that technically the term brain dead is a misnomer, that there is no definitive way to determine somebody's actually, quote, brain dead? It's just a determination by somebody in the medical field that basically allows them to do with your body anything that they want to do. Isn't that strange?
Wow, that is
strange. We all thought brain dead was something scientifically derived from testing or whatever, and here it's a very subjective item by somebody, quote, in the medical field. And as Dr. Brewer points out, some of these people in medicine today have extremely high education bills or loans or extravagant lifestyles, so the incentive for them is to make a lot of money as quickly as possible, and so they are very overly zealous in proclaiming somebody brain dead in order to harvest organs. We're living in a woo-woo land nut farm today, aren't we, Phil? I mean, based on what happened to you and what you saw and all this other crap that's coming to light, we're living in a sane asylum.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely becoming a total madhouse. I'm starting to chronicle my life's experiences as I've told you before and recently. And this story about Katie has tried to inspire me. And I wrote one that I'd said to you earlier. And I'm working on another one regarding my father and the consequences of race mixing with a family that I encountered across the street. And so yeah, it's becoming, and then my absolute insane experience in college, where I was hoping to find go to a place of higher learning, and all I experienced was a place of lower activity. I mean, it was just stupidity beyond belief. So
yeah, little more volume, Phil.
And when I chronicle those, you'll be shocked at the things that I experience. So I went to college. I wanted to go to the military, but I wasn't exactly sure which one I wanted to go to, because I didn't want to go off and fight for some racial alien like in Vietnam or something like that, and that wouldn't benefit our race. I sort of considered joining the Coast Guard because I figured it would be closest to home. And but then my father wanted to have someone have his son have a degree, and so that's what I did. And I have this worthless degree, but boy, I learned a lot there, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. One of our listeners said the enlisted are considered lab rats to be experimented on with new poisonous vaccines. Refuse one, see what happens. I do not trust anything Drumpf, the president, does. He's one of quote them. You know, as much as I hate to say it, I'm beginning to wonder about that as well. I believe the solution is in Yahweh's people. I don't believe Washington, D.C. has one single person sitting in it that represents the King of Kings. I don't believe. It's all Jews, Catholics who are just another branch of Judaism. It's Freemasons, aliens.
Well, the church, whatever it has been called, has been completely dominated. But there's no real difference between the church now and Freemasonry. I mean, it's been totally taken over. And I mean, if you go to Washington, you'll see the Masonic Temple. This damn thing is huge. It's just enormous. It's got snakes in it and everything. No one ever talks about that. And you're right. It's just, I mean, the you know, it's just they're all on the same page. It's like, oh my God, you know, the worst thing you could possibly imagine. Any sort of decency in the Christian world has basically been sold down the river. And it's just bad. It's just evil.
Yeah, it is evil. Mm-hmm. And so it's time to wake up. One of the notes I wanted us to talk about today, and we said this right here with the government transparency and whom do we trust, we kind of lumped them together. We were promised transparency all the way back to the orangutan when he got elected. But as we all know, that there is no intention by either the Bolshevik R party or the Bolshevik D party. There is no transparency, and all of this QAnon bullshit and all this other crap that's going on around claiming that there's good guys doing things, but they just got to keep it all in secrecy. I'm going to throw the bullshit flag on it all, okay? The enemy does things in secrecy. Anybody doing stuff in secrecy at this time, I think, has got to be looked at very much with suspicious eyes. We have to be circumspect. Who do we trust? I don't trust anybody at this point in time. At least that's my opinion. I'm just giving my opinion. I don't trust anybody that's not going to be forthright and upfront about where they stand. I believe our Messiah has eliminated the fence that everybody's been sitting their fat asses on for decade upon decade upon decade while the world goes completely to hell, especially here in our white Western European nations. Okay, so the church world is responsible for that. These preachers are prostitutes doing the work of the Baal priests in the Old Testament. They've turned their parishioners into a bunch of cucks just sitting on the fence waiting for either a rapture or thinking the government, they have no business in government, which is a lie. The government belongs to us. We are the masters of our public servants. So, you know, the church world is actually probably enemy number one to the free white Christian men and women and children of this land. They're literally enemy number one, helping the Antichrist Bolsheviks destroy this country.
Yep, that's right. Do you know about the Amazon Synod that's planning to happen in September, October? Do you know what it's actually going to be? What's going to happen?
No.
The so-called Catholic Church, whatever the hell you want to call it, that piece of garbage in Rome or whatever, they are going to have this synod in Brazil, and it basically is utterly rejecting anything, even the most diehard Catholic that is still sticking with this garbage from the Vatican II, is up in arms over it. It basically says that it allows for witchcraft and any kind of evil you want to do. It is absolutely the most. It worships man. It's basically taking what Cortez had done by stopping the human sacrifice by the Aztecs when he had conquered them, and basically reversing it. It's just basically saying, okay, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. It's perfectly fine if you want to, you know, it's all you know, in God's will. It's the most disgusting, vile thing I'd ever heard in my life. And I was reading, I was having this read to, you know, I was listening to it on the internet. I was like, oh my God, this is right out of hell. If you want to just destroy everything, and have absolutely nothing to do with the so-called church. This is it. You will flee like there's no. I mean, the rats are going to run right out of that sinking ship. It's the worst thing you could possibly do, and because when you totally undermine any kind of authority, there's absolutely nothing, it's pure evil. And so now what you're going to have is you're going to have all these muds and everything that are south of the border coming up here in droves, and it's going to turn what was a blessing into a nightmare. And I read that. It's like, oh my God! And you should look into that. It is an absolute. It's the end. It's just the absolute utter end of all Christianity, all kind of sense of Christianity. You just want to run away from it, and you want to burn it down. It's mind boggling.
That's incredible. And what's that called again? The Amazon Synod?
Amazon Synod. Yeah. Look into it. I will. I can send you some things on it, and when I send it to you, understand that it will be read to you by a Catholic priest. He's part of the resistance against this devil system that has taken over the Vatican, which was part of the Catholic prophecy from way, way back. And it is said that the devil will occupy the temple of God, and the temple of God to them is St. Peter's Basilica, not this new temple they're trying to build in Israel, which is just a fraud. And if you see the signs that happened in Rome, you'll see what happened. They had, for instance, you'll see like lightning striking the Vatican, and they had a thing where they had all these animals that were projected on the front of the Vatican, just like it is in the Book of Revelation. And many of them are from the Amazon. It is, even when you connect the dots here, you're going, "Oh my God," you know. So because for centuries the church, you know, it was all everything was had promoted Christ and all this kind of stuff, and they had done a lot of good. But when you look at the history of Europe, European defenders, the best ones were usually Catholic Christians. Whether they were. Charlemagne, whether they were Charles V, or whether they were Hitler, or they had grown up, or they had been in that part of they had been part of Europe, and they had never the traditional believers had never apologized for the Crusades, and when they to defend Europe against the Muslims, but when the Protestants came around, they utterly rejected. They said, no, this is bad, and What the Protestants did was they utterly rejected tradition simply because it had something to do with the church, and so all they wanted to do was get into the word itself, which meant that you keep fighting over minutiae of what the word says and not seeing that the world is around you, and this is what we have today. It's absolutely beyond belief, and so. I will send that to you. You can read it, and you go. Oh, you can listen to it, and this is from the horse's mouth, dude. And this is not some other believer saying it. This is their saying. This is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And I'm going to send it to you, and you're going to go. You're just going to go. Oh my God, this is the end.
Well, I think we are. I think all the signs mm-hmm. are there. I wanted to read in Revelation 22. A couple quick verses right at the beginning here. He said, he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. On this side of the river and on that was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruits. Well, there's your 12 tribes. Yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That's the reason Adam's here. There will be no curse anymore. The throne of Yahweh God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. That's another way of saying in their minds. They will know his name. There will be no light, and they need no lamp light or sunlight, for the Lord, Yahweh God will illuminate them. They will reign forever and ever. Well, I don't know about you, but that sounds like where we're at right now. That's what this world needs. The sons of Yahweh, who we are, and not all this hocus-pocus that's out there about the Jews and about the blacks and all this other complete and utter total bullshit. We are the Adamic people that were put here to tend the garden, which is a biblical way of just saying maintaining law and order on this earth. I don't know about you, Phil, but I think we've reached we're beyond the Rubicon at this point. There is no going back. There is no coexistence with these communists that have infiltrated our country. And by the way, isn't it interesting? Baker Acts are only ever done against us. You never see people like Pelosi Baker acted. What's that? Maxine Waters being Baker acted. The people in Hollywood Baker acted for their outright talking about assassination of the president or that the white race needs to die. You never see the blacks that promote the white genocide being Baker acted. It's only white people. It's just like hate speech and all this. It's a mental construct of Bolshevik Jew brains to give them a weapon against white people that are waking up. That's pretty much what it is.
I'd like to read to you. I think your listeners might enjoy this. I had been corresponding with Lori, who we both know, of course. She had sent me a story about these stories about Social Security numbers being sold in bundles around the world and how we should be so terrified about it. And she wanted my opinion of it, and I would like to read to you what I wrote her. I think your listeners might enjoy what I said. It says, to answer your question, yes, I've heard many times about Social Security numbers being sold in bundles on the market and supposed dead babies. I have also heard this story seriously debunked. The problem you have here is simple common sense. What difference does it make if they do that? Your number has nothing to do with you. It only has to do with them using it for proper record keeping for benefits. If they burn your number, does that make you dead? Now, this is Jewish myth-making, myth magic. Scribes were obsessed with this in Russia while studying word usage. Does the word itself have equal weight to what the actual object or person in reality? If you change it, does it change truth? If you replace the name Yahweh with God, does that act kill Yahweh's essence and change who the Creator is? You can change history on a page, but it will never change the truth of what really happened or the events themselves. The truth movement is in many ways falling for this bullshit scam every damn day. Getting rid of all gender-specific pronouns will never get rid of gender. You can call a nigger a white every day, but it is still a dumbass jungle monkey who walks around all day with one hand in his pants. Get what I'm saying? This is the problem paramount with Solo Scriptorum, the word alone movement, which was created by the Protestants to discredit the church's stand that tradition is even more important, but goes along with the word. The word without tradition is lost. There is no standard set down since creation. The spoken word matters, not the written word. I can change my name to Obama, but it doesn't change the fact that my father is a German. It only changes my father's respect for me. Had he been living. This is why Jews change their name. This is why you have a fake name in the Jew net. Can I help? I don't know. You tell me. If you look on the stone monuments of Egypt, you will see some interesting things. They will chisel out or change things on the monuments. say, massively inflate the enemy's army with huge casualty figures to make the winning pharaoh look like a genius winning when he is greatly outnumbered. His army has much stronger men. He is more like a god. And one more point I need to make. I have this friend, Lori. The State Department could change her legal name to Shaniqua. Even if they did that, she would still be a hell of a lot prettier than some monkey in Detroit and a million times smarter. I know I've met her many times in person. I'm not scared. Go for it, Jews. Oh, and one more thing. The only reason why this trick works in the Western world is because of the negative consequences, negative repercussions of universal literacy. For the vast scope of human history, very few people could read or write. Only a select few did. Why? Because there was no practical need to use the skill. Life was having to work with their hands, and knowledge has passed by bards speaking stories and the elders talking to the young. Stained glass windows held a visual presentation of biblical tales. The saints and Christ were all white. Because people can read but not necessarily think, today they are foolish. In the ancient world, people were taught how to think with incredible memory but not necessarily read. The Jews could not use this magic trick because the ingredients to cast the spell were not there. I wonder if there are, I wonder if I could say this on Dan's show. Americans do not, here's a quote, Americans do not believe anything is true until they see it on television, Richard Nixon. In today's world, everyone is taught that the people in the ancient world are all dumb because they didn't have cars or cell phones. They're nearly all baltars spinning in every possible direction. There we go.
Yeah. Amen to that. It's a sad situation. One of the things, I want to read James 1:1 here for all the doubters out there and all the naysayers. I want to talk about banning the Bible. So just keep that in your mind and hear me out on it and why I say that. But in James 1:1, which actually in the original language it was Jacob, which should have been translated Jacob, but to honor the homosexual King James, they named it James, which is another lie. So, again, it's all full of lies. But Jacob, a servant of Yahweh God and of the Lord Yahshua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes which are in the dispersion, greetings. So right here, this letter from Jacob, James, it's not a letter of Paul. This is a letter from James. He's writing to the scattered 12 tribes. He's not writing to the world. You know, this whole church world thing is bogus. It's just bogus bullshit, and we need to get over it, okay? Yahweh himself, when he came here in a flesh body, came for his kinsmen. He didn't come for the whole world. The whole world has benefited when Abraham is lifted up and given his proper authority to run the show. That's what benefits everybody else. Even when you read about the New Jerusalem setting down in North America and the 12 gates, that's the 12 tribes, it doesn't say the whole world's going to be inside the walls of the New Jerusalem. Only his administrators, who are the white men and women, Jacob Israel. Okay, that's who's inside the walls. Everybody else comes up to the walls asking for what? Help. Teach us the truth. And that's what we're here to do, teach the truth, because only the truth sets you free. Only the truth is going to cause you to have good health. Only the truth will set you free from this cacistocracy that we all live under, a complete insane asylum with the inmates running the asylum. And that's why we have a cacistocracy. That's exactly what cacistocracy means. The worst of our people, the inmates, are running the asylum. When are the people out here, the normal people, are going to grow a set of testicles and stand up and say no more? We keep looking to the same misfits, in this case, Washington, D.C., and I don't give a damn who's sitting in the White House. Washington, D.C. created all these problems, and we're looking for the same beast to fix our problem.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
In regard to the infighting amongst white people, here's one of the things I suggested. In order to stop the infighting, I suggest that white people ban reading the scripture, okay? Because here's what the problem is. It becomes like a soap opera, and our people love to argue and bitch, And so what it becomes is a bitching session on which version is correct, who has the correct interpretation, what does that interpretation mean for today, and we end up dying at the hands of the Bolsheviks while we're all bitching about what's right in the scriptures. And here's something else I want you to understand. When our Messiah, who said, "I've come as an example," isn't that what he said, Phil?
Yep.
Okay, he said, "I've come as an example." Okay, how many Bibles did Christ hand out, Phil?
A big whopping goose egg. That's
what okay. He didn't hand out any Bibles. Okay, how many times did Christ roll open the scrolls to read directly from the prophets?
I don't think he did any at all.
Yeah, the most he ever said was, "It is written." It is written.
Oh, yeah, it is written.
Okay. The people listening were supposed to be smart enough to know that he was talking about the prophets. It is written.
Yeah.
Okay. So here is our Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body, walking amongst his kinsmen. And guess what? He didn't have any scriptures. He sure as hell didn't have a basket full of Bibles to hand out. He didn't sit there and argue, do you have the Aramaic version, or do you have the Paleo-Hebrew version, or do you have the Greek version? Let's sit down and have a Bible study. That's not how Christ did it. Christ said, "I'm here to give you the truth. I'm going to slap you right between the eyes with hard facts and truth, and it will change your life if you decide to go that way." He didn't go into any buildings. When he was 12 years old, he went to the temple only to denounce the liars and misfits that had taken over the temple. During his ministry, he didn't go into any buildings except people's homes, which today would be people's living rooms, their basements, their barns, whatever. So they were loose, informal gatherings where he presented the truth, and they could do with it as they see fit. And if they didn't want the truth, he knocked the dust off his feet and kept right on walking, which is exactly what he told his disciples to do. And that's exactly what his disciples did do. Okay, they didn't hand out Bibles. They didn't sit there and try to compile the books and decide which is canon and which is not canon. They sure as hell didn't hand out copies of Paul's letters to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so... why don't we think about possibly following our king's example? As he said, "Do as I do, and you will do greater works." So instead of doing greater works like saving humanity from the misfit Bolshevik Zionist Jews and what they're doing to us, we're sitting around playing church and having our asses kicked by the monsters that have been set forth on us. Even General George S. Patton made it very clear that we fought the wrong enemy in World War II. We should have been fighting the Bolsheviks because they were monsters compared to the Germans. He also discovered that they had lied about the Germans, much as the guest on this program from Canada, Ian MacDonald, who was a Royal Canadian Air Force bomber crew member, and he gave his personal testimony here on By Yahweh's Design, where he said almost verbatim what General Patton said, because he was assigned to stay in Germany at the end of the war, and he was amazed that the longer he stayed there and talked to the German people and the more he saw the Bolsheviks and the way they behaved and what they did to the German people, he said the same thing. He said, "My God, the Germans are a noble race of people, and these monsters we've turned loose on them, this is a crime against humanity." And because he found out the truth, he was a millionaire, by the way. He owned a lot of property in Canada. His family was well-connected. So at one point after the war, he actually became a millionaire and had quite a bit of real estate property. But guess what happened to him when the Bolsheviks found out he was denouncing them? They ended up trying to get him fired from government service. They tried to get him denounced in court. They tried to sue him, and he ended up losing everything. And today he's in Canada basically as a pauper because the Bolsheviks have ruined him financially, which is what they're doing to all of us. All of the truth tellers today are suffering censorship on YouTube. their censorship on Facebook and Google, everything owned by the DARPA military complex, which, by the way, is in the hands of the Bolsheviks. Okay, I've talked to people that worked at the Pentagon, and they told me what a scary place it was. Well, why would the Pentagon be scary to a white Christian male officer? Because it's being run by Bolshevik Jews.
Yep, yep.
Okay, because that's who told me that. A young white Christian male officer working at the Pentagon, and he's not the only one. Michael Gaddy and many others have told me the same thing. And so what would make a white Christian male say that the Pentagon is a scary place? Because it's in the hands of people like, Wolfowitz and Zsolt Dokheim, all these Bolshevik, lying, misfit, cockamamie, paranoid, schizophrenic, perverted, demonic Jews. That's why. Because they're using our military to do immoral things to the people of this world. Would you agree or not?
Believe me, I've known that for a very, very long time. And that's one of the reasons why I was hesitant to join our military, because all we've been doing since 1945 since we got into the war, has been to fight against our race and for these racial aliens nonstop, 110% every single time, and it only hurts us. We bleed for others, and we end up hurting ourselves. This is why our men come home and they commit suicide, because they're not actually fighting for their family. They're fighting for a stranger, and that's not the way it works. And that's what we're in. You have the situation where the communists and the Freemasons and I guess global Jewry, they're all in the same boat, because they're all in the same global cause. They're trying to completely eliminate all sense of nationhood, and the only last nationalist was the Third Reich, and they're just going to destroy all sense of identity. They're doing it in France. They're doing it all over Europe, and. And the only nation that's going to be allowed to exist is the greater Israel project, which goes between the Nile and the Euphrates, and this is why they're displacing all the people that live there in order for this Freemasonic devil worshipping scumbag system is going to take over. That's the only nation that's allowed to exist, and all others will crumble. Focusing on the West, because that's where all the real ones are. And what they want to do is they want to eliminate our ability or our willingness to help out the racial alien, which we're not supposed to do in the first place, and make it so bad that we don't want to have anything to do with them and run away, and then we'll be isolated and they can try to destroy us, so that's what they. That's what they did to Russia as a country in 1917, and that's what they're doing in Europe, and so they're doing it all over. It's very consistent. They get straight A's in consistency. Straight A's. There's just no question.
Yeah,
about that.
A zebra can't change its spots. So just as Christ said that they do the works of their father, the devil, they're still doing it 2,000 years later, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah, and we've got these prostitute preachers telling us that Jews are God's chosen people. I hope they burn in hell. I pray in precatory prayer against the preachers today. I would pray that the Father would rain fire from heaven down and fry their asses right to the ground right now. Mm-hmm. If I had the power of Elijah, I would call fire down from heaven and burn them, literally burn them alive for their blasphemy. Mm-hmm. And setting the sheep up for the slaughter of these Bolshevik Jew monsters that are here that did the same thing to multiple tens, if not hundreds of millions of innocent people in Europe when these Bolshevik Jews came to power. They're going to do the same thing here. And I think Matt Bracken was right on the money when he gave that little, I would say somewhat cloaked, warning to men in uniform when they are applying unconstitutional Bolshevik laws against we the people. I don't know, Phil. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I sense that this could go hot. So if there's any white hats out there, they better step up now, because this is going to go hot in the near future. That's how I see it. How do you see it, Bill?
I've been praying for that. I keep saying, okay, is it going to happen tomorrow? Is it going to happen in an hour? I pray that it happens. I would like to point this out to your listeners, something that they sometimes are being sold down the river by people on the internet. The Germans in 1933, just a couple months after the war, or after Hitler came to power in 1933, that they had thrown out the Jewish power. The students got utterly upset with all the vile filth that had been invaded their country, and they had spontaneous book burnings. These weren't books of anything that was good in society. It was all the Jewish pornography and the smut and the homosexual garbage and all that other stuff, and they just burned it. And someone back in, I don't remember who the person was, back in the 19th century, said that when you burn books, you'll eventually burn people. And everybody thinks, oh, it must be those evil Germans killing these 6 million Jews in the furnaces. Nope, it was the same enemy that had made all that garbage. They had burned the people who were trying to get rid of the evil, and that was all the Germans who were burned in Dresden and all the other cities of the Allied cause. That's who it was. It was not the other way around.
Yeah, you know, truth in history, Asha Lagos. A-S-H-A, Asha, Lagos is L-O-G-O-S from the Greek. Asha Lagos just put out a great video. This young man puts out some absolutely phenomenal video. And what he's doing is a series of videos correcting us back historically into historicity rather than the fake Jewish creation that we live under now. So he's attempting to put together from basically the works of, I'm trying to think, Tacitus and Jardanes, I believe is the other one's name, the historians from antiquity, who are, their accounts are more reliable, obviously, than Hollywood versions of anything. After all, Hollywood or television, which is the same as Hollywood, put out that Hannibal was a black man on the History Channel. I mean, when you have no more historical integrity than that, then you're a laughing stock. The History Channel actually portrayed Hannibal, one of the greatest military generals of all time, as a black African. Yep. You know what the real irony was? He was leading the Carthaginian army, which was 100% white. Which it was. Yep. The Carthaginians were white. So the History Channel wants us to believe that an entire army of white Carthaginians who were kin to the Romans, so obviously they knew architecture, warfare, armament, etc., that they went out and got a black African to be their leader. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, this damn Jew thing, they do it over in Britain. I saw a video where they had all these historical shows, and they would make all these characters that were from European history black. I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous. You know, they'd do Romeo and Juliet to be black. It was just absolutely every single thing. All the heroes and stuff would be black, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to justify and legitimize the racial alien taking over Europe as though they were always there. That's what they're trying to do. This is all part of the system. And when you see that and you realize, oh my gosh, this is a lie, then you start noticing race, and you notice race really, really quick. So, and when I was mentioning that game that I played, we saw more truth in that game than we did around it, because everything around it was based on race. And I had a friend of mine, or sort of a friend, he was not really a friend, he was an acquaintance that lived right across from me, and he was a mulatto, and his father was big black, and his mother was white. And I remember one time, I will chronicle this in a story I'm about to write, where I was about 13 years old, and Joe, the mixed race kid, was 4 years younger than I was, and one summer his parents decided to go to one of these church church gatherings. It was like for a week long. Okay, so they could probably raise money so they could send it to the third world. And he had his cousin, his mother's aunt's daughter, show up to take care of them. And her name was Heidi, and she was blonde and a babe. I mean, absolutely gorgeous, okay? And I'm sitting there, and I said to Joe, I was like, oh, my God, Joe, I did not know. Your cousin is gorgeous. You know, she's beautiful. Now, what does he do? Well, the beast part of him started to come out, and he started to sit there and start. His tongue was coming out. He was grabbing himself. He was acting like a beast, essentially. I was like, oh my God! And I looked at Heidi, and she looked at me, and Heidi, of course, is a pretty white name, and she was extremely beautiful. And I said, I'm embarrassed. He says, I know, I have to kind of get used to it sometimes. And it's like, holy crap. And and that's when I started to realize that what was really going on. Well, then a couple years later, I was going over to see a friend's house, and I was delivering a book, and Joe and I were gonna, I was gonna take him somewhere. I can't remember where. So he went with me, and we went down, and they were playing this game that was all based on Western tradition, all the Western history. And there was this big white guy that was leading the whole group. He was a big man. He was totally white, and he actually had a wife who was a pretty darn good looking little girl next to him. And he comes over, and the guy looks at him, and he goes, and he puts his hand out. He goes, "What exactly are you?" You know, and he says, "Oh, my father's black and my mother's white." He says, "That's not right. Get out of here." You know, and see, yeah. in that game, there was a group. There's a race called the half orc, which is half white and half orc, okay, or black. And they were never considered natural and normal, and they were never able to be trusted. They might be a little friendly to you, but they're going to turn around and stab you in the back at any time. Well, later on, this happened where I found out that he had gone to Penn State University, which is with pedophile U, and he got a scientific degree, and he's now working at a government lab in Colorado. His sister is at the local Mennonite College, teaching what's known as peace studies, which is another way of surrendering to the enemy, okay? And his father, the big nigger, who I thought played for Notre Dame because he was so big in it, and because I was blinded by television, I thought all big black guys played football because there's no other reason for him to be around than this. But he never did. He taught Latin American history at the local college, and so he was probably, I'm sure he was doing it with a very negative stand on the white power structure and attacking them, which is probably why he was able to manipulate his wife to marry him. And then the absolute crux of the matter, the absolute nail in the coffin of my wanting to have anything to do with these enemies that were invading our land, was that a couple years ago my mother had gotten a Christmas card from them, and I'd never associated with them at all, but they would keep sending us these Christmas cards. And they had you know, like people have at the end of the year, they'd have a year-long review of everything. And it was a card that was from the United Nations, and it had it had drawings of all these little children with all these different races, and on the front, on the very front page, it said, or on the front cover, it said, on the top one, it said Shalom, okay, and it had all these different races, and everyone said peace in some other language, you know. And in her letter, she said that she was absolutely outraged at the hate that was going on in Europe because white people were actually getting upset that blacks were coming into their land and taking their stuff, and that we should give it to them because we have way too much. And it was just absolutely so mean that they would be trying to do this. That just got me absolutely my blood was going to boil. Like, that was just, I'd known these pieces of garbage were our enemies, and now it was right there in my face.
Eventually they dropped their guard. They'll say something and prove who they are. Remember when Jerome Corsi was being touted as such a great patriot and all that? So he wrote that book. I can't remember the name of the book now, but I ordered a digital copy of it and did a search down through it real quick. And it didn't take me more than about 30 minutes going through it. And then I found the purpose of the book, which was to be a Jewish apologist and basically tell us all that, you know, and it's not, the Jews aren't the problem. It's everything else. And, you know, so he was a Jewish cover. He was a gatekeeper. And then shortly after that, everybody else started figuring out that he was a fake and a fraud. So, you know, they always, well, if you look, if you do the investigation, for years, the fault of our people, and my father and mother's generation is part of this, they believed that if it came from the government or came across the radio or television, it had to be true. Now, where in the world people with an IQ above room temperature ever came up with the idea that just because some flunky from the government or because some flunky in front of a camera tells you something that it has to be true, I can't even wrap my head around that. What? Who in his right mind would believe such a thing?
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's another interesting thing that I would like to point out in reference to my previous story that I'd written to you. Joe had that game I had telling you about. He couldn't play it. He couldn't handle it because it had to do with, it had all these complexities, numbers, and everything. And he wasn't interested at all because he knew it was all, it was not for him, and he was very uncomfortable with it. And one of the things that he was objected about was this group of entities known as Drow Elves, which are, and if you understand your legends and stories of the white European peoples, elves are nature lovers, and they're white, and they're Aryan, and they're blonde haired. Well, the Drow was black, and they lived underground, and they worshipped a goddess, a spider goddess. Okay, and the women were more powerful than the men, and just like those mind flayers I mentioned, wherever you saw Drow, you would see those mind flayers that worked in labs. Okay, and he objected to them because he wouldn't even talk about them because he said that it just made blacks being black look bad. Okay, so that's where you get this. That's where you get this this thing that he just doesn't want to have anything to do with race, and race has everything to do with everything. And now he's working in a government lab, and God knows what he's doing. And he might be hanging out with those mind flayers I was mentioning about. God, I was just like, this is just when I heard that on the radio that I had never listened to, that Coast to Coast, which I listened to like maybe three times a year, and when I'm on the car because I just want to listen to something different than the same old babble. When that came on the radio, it's like, oh my God, what was Father telling me? It's like, this is ridiculous. This is insane. These mad idiots are trying to open up the gates of hell, literally. And now I'm having to deal with this crap.
Yeah. Amen.
It's just beyond crazy.
Hey, let me ask you, I don't have time to look into everything, so have you done any looking into CERN that's over there in Switzerland, CERN?
A little bit, not a whole lot, not too much, but that's what they're trying to open up, the various portals, and the myth about CERN is that there's only one, and there's a lot of them. Okay. In fact, there's going to be the largest one in the world now, I think it's in China. So it's not just the one in France. They're all over the place. And they're trying to open up portals in order to let out these entities, and so that they can then reverse what happened when God banished the Satan's kids all down there.
Yeah.
And into the prison of the dome. So that's essentially what they're trying to do. So I haven't heard anything specific. That one story about them was the last thing I had heard specifically, but I do know that there are a lot of them. It's not just the one in France.
Yeah. Well, it would explain the disappearance in a lot of countries' budgets of a large number of taxpayer money disappearing, and supposedly nobody knows where it's at. Well, that's bullshit. They know damn well where it's at. It's paying for all this draconian, Satan-worshipping bullshit that's going on all over the world. You mentioned at Penn State, when the truth came out about Joe Paterno and some of the other people at Penn State, it reminds me that years before that, since I grew up just south of the Penn State campus in State College, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, so I'm always keen to listen in. Well, I had a grade school friend of mine who lived in Penn State after he got out of school. He took a job in an apartment there, and I ran into him, and we got talking about it. And before this whole thing came out with Joe Paterno, he told me, he says, Dan, he goes, you wouldn't believe Penn State and what it's become. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, when we were kids, everybody looked up to Penn State, Joe Paterno, the whole thing. He goes, do you know what they just had here last fall? They had some kind of festival, and they set up tents all over the campus. And he goes, in these tents, you would pay a fee and go inside the tent, and inside the tent, you could do anything you wanted to do. Anything you wanted to do. Drugs, sex, homosexuality, you name it. Anything you wanted to do, perversion or otherwise, you could pay the money, go in this tent, and do it, and nobody would say a damn thing. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, and the alumni and the staff know about this? He goes, they not only know about it, they promote it.
Mm-hmm.
So here again, we're led to believe that these institutions and all may have started out as something good, just like Harvard and Yale started out as seminaries. Now they're completely run by Bolshevik Talmudic Jews. Okay, so they're just the opposite. They're dens of iniquity now, and they're not mm-hmm. teaching the truth of our Christ. They're teaching absolute criminality and perversion. So, and here's the other question I got for you. So enough of that. Penn State's been going downhill for a long time. It's a shame because, again, I grew up in that area, and I used to think highly of it. Penn State, actually no university today other than Hillsdale College. Hillsdale College in Michigan may be the only exception I know of because they will not accept any government money, state or federal. They remain completely independent.
I get their newsletter every month, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, my dad used to get it, and then I got it for a long time as well. So that might be the only exception. Other than that, I would not put my children in public school. I'd get them out, homeschool them, and I would not send them to any of these so-called institutions of higher learning. They're institutions of higher indoctrination. That's all they are, Bolshevik indoctrination centers. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Phil, since you are quite a researcher and reader, it's my theory that the Jews are setting China up to be the next victim that they're going to move to, since they are the parasites that they are, and they've pretty much bled America dry. America is about ready to revolt. At least all the indicators I see show. Do you think that that's what they're doing? Because it sure looks to me like they're setting China up to be their next headquarters and try to rule the world from China.
I agree with you 110%. I think that what they're doing is they're planting the seed for a growth, but also an implosion of China. There's a lot of problems in China demographically, economically, and when you see what they do with their properties and everything, there was a great video, there's a series of videos by these two white guys that drive around China in their motorcycles, and they get on their bikes and they just start riding, and they start talking about how things are in China and how they think and stuff and how they react and everything. And they went through this on this one, they went to one of these empty cities and that they build, and they would walk into it, and you could see a concrete pillar. You're like, wow, this is pretty impressive. But then you'd see that it's cracking and falling apart, and inside of it is just a bunch of reeds that have been tied together, and there's just the concrete's just on the outside. It's all garbage. And they talk that over in China, it's perfectly acceptable that the idea of having trademarks and protecting of thought was completely contrary to Confucius ideas, and the traditional Chinese idea was that you didn't that you were never able to have a license on an idea. That was public record. And what your job was to master the masters and then try and improve upon it as much as you can and never try and go your own way. So this is why it's so easy to make cheap copies of things, because this is the way the Chinese think, and they think that everything is never supposed to last long, and nothing more than 5 years. This is why the stuff that you have is junk, because it is junk, and it's never intended to be, you know, it's not supposed to last 35 years like a good BMW or something. So, and this is what's going to happen is it's going to implode. You have this economic disaster. I think you're seeing a hint of it, what's going on in Hong Kong. So, and I truly do believe that you are absolutely right. And I don't know if they're going to, I've heard the famous Russian, the Russian social scientist said some years ago that America would be divided up, and we here in Florida will be part of the Latin sphere, or whatever you might call it, the South American part, and the West will be conquered by China, and the western side of the United States, and the eastern side of the United States will be conquered by Europe. And I don't know if I believe that necessarily, but I do believe that there's going to be a serious problem that's going on, and they are enslaved to us in so many ways, and this trade war that's going on between us and China is causing a serious problem. And that's one thing I kind of like, but I'm scared too. So, but because the way the system works is that throughout human history, civilizations has always been based upon the growth of populations. So any civilization that was primitive or whatever, it was seen to be as going better if its population had increased. That was the sole way of saying whether or not a society was better than other ones. The Tenochtitlan, which was the capital of the Aztec Empire, prior to Cortez's conquest, was saying, well, it's as good as the West because the population was as large as Paris, which is true, but they were literally eating their neighbors, they were sacrificing them because they were not able to sustain them economically. They could not feed them, so they had developed this human sacrifice system to worship the serpent god and to kill them, so that it would solve two problems. It would get rid of their enemies, and it would allow them to they would not starve to death. So, but now we're having a situation where the ideal is not to increase the population, but to decrease it as quickly as possible. So when the fertilizer hits the fan, so to speak, the most populous nations and countries in the world are going to become the biggest hell on earth. And the lower population countries like the West, which I think is Father's way of acting as a kind of mercy against what's going on here in his judgment, are going to be much, much better off because we just don't have as many people to literally eat each other alive, and so you have the white Aryans in Scandinavia who are not able to breed themselves are actually going to be in a better situation than the millions of people over in China, and where India is now raising its population so high it's insane. I keep getting about 3 or 4 calls every single day, Dan, from some raghead Indian offering me to wanting me to buy his pharmaceutical products. And every single day I get 3 or 4 of them, and they all are different phone numbers, so I can't block them. I even contacted an attorney who specializes in this, in these robocalls. He says, there's nothing you can do, dude. There's absolutely nothing you can do. And I would just get on my phone, and I'd answer to, it's like, oh my gosh, I just want to go over there with an AR-15 and just wipe them out. I just can't stand them. Because they're saying the same damn thing every single day. Do you need your medication? No, I need you dead. I need you gone, dude. I don't want you around here. You're pissing the street and you're ruining my society, and you're taking my jobs. When I heard that I lost my job to these ragheads, I was absolutely beyond. I wanted to explode. I was so angry. So, you know, and these same bastards are calling me every day, do you want to have your sex pill today? And I just wanted to just, I mean, as you say on your show, you know, the Saxon is nice until he is not. Well, I am not.
Well, we're reaching that point. When somebody like Matt Bracken, who's an author and a former Navy SEAL, basically puts a cryptid message out that says, if you're going to do the work of the Antichrist Bolshevik Jew, you're no longer a brother in arms, okay? You've identified yourself as doing the work of the Antichrist. So God help your souls. I believe that the citizen soldiers are going to rise up here in the very near future, because it's becoming apparent that there are no good guys in Washington, D.C., there are no good guys in the Pentagon. They're all complicit with what's going on. That's why you don't see anybody that's a real criminal, a real murderer, a real pedophile doing a perp walk. And one of the biggest criminals to ever live on this earth, Jeffrey Epstein, the kike, Talmud-thumping Jew, is no longer going to stand trial. Whether he's dead or not doesn't matter. It's an orchestrated effort to make sure that he does not testify against his other Jewish perverted morons that he runs in the circles of, including the Mossad. So, whichever. It doesn't really matter if he's dead or alive. It's the fact that there are no good guys. None. Get over it, folks. There are no good guys. You and I are the good guys. You and I are the good guys. When are you going to wake up to that? When are you men-at-arms going to wake up at that?
Yep.
Stop looking to the beast to fix the problem. The beast will never fix the problem. Okay, I got two questions from the audience for you, Phil. Number one, what's your opinion as to the purpose of the ghost cities?
The purpose of the ghost cities is to artificially inflate the price of real estate, and that is the way they're going about this. This is the way they do investing. There's in China they tend to look at jewelry and gold and things like that, which is what India also does. But real estate is that, and so they create these ghost cities in order to artificially inflate real estate prices, and so people will buy properties simply because it's a status symbol, and yet nobody lives in them. So it's just like, I have this, you know, it's like I'm not going to use it. It's kind of like having a car that you keep in your garage.
So in essence, it's to manipulate the world real estate market, and like you said, they don't actually plan on using them because they're built to substandard conditions, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so they don't intend for them to ever actually be used by anybody.
No, but and see if you when I was, you know, it, on the surface they look good, but when push comes to shove, they suck, and if I'll try and find those guys that go ride around on motorcycles, they kind of explain exactly how this works, so, and it'll explain very well the ghost cities and why they do this. So,
yeah, makes sense now that you mention that, because I was not aware of the inferior building methods being used. So it's obvious that the intention is never for occupation. It's for show and manipulation of the world real estate, which aids and abets the same Bolsheviks that run the banks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Better believe it.
Yeah, I just got from one of our listeners.
They put them in too.
Yeah, one of our listeners says, in Vancouver, the Chinese have bought a pile of houses, and nobody's living in them. Okay, so here again, they're dumping their wealth into real estate. Somebody says here, oh, this must be about Epstein. His records are sealed, and the current focus is on whether his death was a suicide, a murder, or that he's not even dead. Drumpf furthered this by his bullshit tweet suggesting he was Clinton-sided, nothing will happen. I agree. Again, we keep looking to the same misfits to fix our problems. Folks, get over it, all right? Yahshua came as an example. His example was to teach not in Scripture, to teach something you can verify with your own eyes and your own rational thinking. Okay? Common mm-hmm. truths. If you want to believe yep. lies, tune into the television. Tune into the Jew. Mm-hmm. Tune into the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. Remember, the definition of a bureaucrat, a public servant who does the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. That's a dictionary definition of a bureaucrat, okay? That's the cacistocracy we live in. Okay, I got another question for you, Phil. What is the purpose of the trade war with China? Or is there even a trade war with China?
To create massive instability and to blame others for the internal problems in the United States. That's what I think is going to happen. I think that Trump will be marketed as a hero for going after the Chi-Coms, but since the Chi-Coms produce our stuff, it's gonna come back on him, and the left will probably rail against him as wanting to start World War II because he's seen as a right, or World War III because he's seen as a right wing hack when he's just a piece of garbage, and he's just a Jew puppet. And he's no different than anybody else. I mean, if you remember when he was elected, he kept saying over and over again, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And then two days later after his election, he says, oh, she's a wonderful politician. She's a really great person, and there's really nothing we should do about it.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. I remember when that happened. I sat there in total disbelief. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Betrayal right from the get-go, and yet people are still on the Trump train. I don't mm-hmm. understand it. I really don't. You have to turn off Occam's razor. You have to take your IQ level and drop it by about 20 points. You have to completely turn off any sensory perception you have to think that Washington, D.C. is going to fix a damn thing. Okay? That's really the nuts and bolts of it. Okay? I'm sorry. A lot of people have hope that we've got white hats and they're working behind the scenes, but I got to tell you, I don't get it. I don't believe it. Okay? Because there's no evidence of it. I trust what the Messiah told me. Judge them by their fruits. Okay? The fruits they're talking about is fruits of your actions. That's an English term for it. So basically, Phil, how do you judge the fruits of somebody that does everything in secrecy?
Well, it depends. On 99.9% of the time, you know they have some sort of hidden agenda. On the other hand, they may be, if they're hiding it for a good cause, they might have a good thing. But everything we see from these entities, they're doing is evil. I mean, if you look at Christ and his apostles, they met in secret and they talked about what was going on around them, and they didn't go out and report the news or have the Jew press come by and say what they were saying. They just sat there and did their thing, and then they moved on. So in a way, it's a secret society, and it was trying to do good and save our people from utter destruction and tell them who their king was. But in this case, there's absolutely zero good of the secret societies that we see around us. And until you actually see them being executed and being them punished in front of you, you're always going to think that they're getting away with it. And until you can see that happening, it doesn't mean a damn thing whether they're taking somebody out or not. It's kind of like when you have when you look on your newspaper and you see the report that says Joe Smith was executed at 9 p.m. Yesterday for the execution of an axe murderer. Well, that's there to tell you that oh good, there was some justice. And you should not go and kill people with an axe, otherwise the state will kill you. If they don't tell you that, it doesn't really do a damn good to prevent it in the first place. If he's dead, great, but it's not really going to be much of a deterrent. And the Saudis will do this when they would punish someone, but they would execute the person, but they would never actually tell the people what kind of crime they had committed. They would just say Akbad was killed was stoned to death or beheaded on such and such a date. They wouldn't say what he did. Was he a sodomite? No. Well, he could be anything. He could have been a Christian. He could have been any. They don't say. So the people know that they're under fear, but they have no idea what they have done wrong. And this is why the people there are terrified of their government that has been put in there by the Jews.
Oh, yeah. Well, here again, you know, until these people come out in the open, I'm very suspect, okay? I know a lot of people want to, okay, I don't believe in any of this clandestine bullcrap that's going on, to be honest, at this point in time, because we've been told now for 3 years, trust the plan, QAnon's our good guys on the inside, and all this other horse manure, okay? Well, you've had 3 years, okay? Last time I checked, General Patton and Douglas MacArthur pretty much had a whole entire world war under control in 3 year period. Okay. So even if they were fighting the wrong enemy, the point being that when you have a serious situation, you don't sit on your ass playing games with clandestine bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem. Yep. Okay. I want to believe that there's good guys. Trust me. I'd love to believe there's good guys, but I got a problem if my good guys have to work in secrecy all the time, okay? Maybe there was some period at the very beginning where there were, but if you really got the goods, and we know the NSA has all the goods, they've been spying on us for decades, okay? So they got all the goods. What's the purpose of the spying? To get them to entrap themselves? We already know who the Bolsheviks are. We already know who the Bolsheviks are. We already know who the international bankers like George Soros, et cetera, that are paying for Black Lives Matter and Antifa and other Bolshevik programs to destabilize our Christian constitutional republic. We already know that. We knew that before this Trump character ever even showed up. Here's my fear. My fear is Trump was put in there to placate us. Trump was put in there because they know these people use artificial intelligence, because the Jew is one of the dumbest MFers on the planet. And I know you're listening. You are the dumbest sons of bitches on the planet. That's why they get and pay Anglos and scientists and technicians to develop software algorithms and artificial intelligence, because the Jew hasn't got the brains of a snail. All right? If they had brains, they wouldn't have to steal everything from us, okay? Come on, folks. Wake the hell up. So they have all this artificial intelligence, and even that Cliff High character who helped develop the software that pulls in all of this, okay? He's probably Mossad himself. He tells you right out that they have the algorithms that go in there and look at our transmissions. There's even been movies that talk about this crap. They go in there, they look at what we're saying on the phone, they look at what we're texting each other, they look at what we're emailing each other, and they're using that to determine where we are mentally. They knew that if Hillary got into the White House, we'd have civil war in this country. They knew that. Any veteran who's ever been in the military could see the handwriting on the wall. Even former police officers, former military, were all up in arms because of what the left was doing. The problem is that Trump was thrown out there for us to placate us. He was the white knight going to come in from the outside with no ties, and yet, wait a minute, his daughter is now Jewish, has a Jewish name, by the way. Ivanka is not her name anymore. She's taken on a Bolshevik communist Jew name. Her husband is a Bolshevik communist Jew Mossad agent. He's proud about all of the Bolsheviks that have funded him from day one. This whole nonsensical thing that Trump is so rich he doesn't need money. Well, then why did he take all the millions of dollars from, like, Edelson and all the rest of these Bolshevik Jews? Okay? What do you mean he's not one of them? He lives in a gilded tower. How many of you live in a gilded tower? Gilded means golden, by the way. Okay, do you live in a gilded tower in downtown Manhattan and have Mar-a-Lago in central Florida on the East Coast? Do you live like that, ladies and gentlemen? And you're going to tell me this guy is our savior and not one of them? He's going to sacrifice all of this money because he wants a legacy? My ass. I'm sorry. I got to tell it the way I see it. I'm saying we're on our own. And the men at arms, you have the power. As John Mark said when he was here on the interview, the largest army in the world is the grassroots conservative men and women of the United States armed. That's the largest army on earth. And that's why they went to all this trouble to get Q going and to make it look like the leftists don't like it and the leftists hate Trump. Well, that's funny. They killed that state representative that was going to testify about satanic ritual abuse. They killed her. They killed her friend. They've killed people that were in high office in other countries. They killed Seth Rich. They killed other people. But all of a sudden, Donald Trump's protected? By who?
I'd like to share with your listeners a couple things, a couple statistics from a book called Communism in Germany, The Truth About Communist Conspiracy on the Eve of the National Revolution by Adolf Ert. Statistics show that between 1923 and 1933, there were 200 murders of nationalists in the country, and there were 20,319 injured. For the police, just in the state of Prussia, there were 216 killed and 1,874 injured. Those are just that was just in the state of Prussia. The only way they were able to protect themselves was they had to form a police force, an internal security unit called the SA, or otherwise known as the Brown Shirts, and it was not to go out and kill randomly or anything. It was to protect their own people from being able to assemble peacefully and not be infiltrated by the enemy. Because every time they would have a meeting, these damn Jew bastards would come in there and mess up the place. And once they got some testicles and started to kick some ass, they never came back and bothered them, and they were able to take over. Until we do something similar in this country with our nationalists, and we have a police force of our own that is strictly for the white race, we will never be able to solve this problem.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. It's time for us to take the blinders off, get off the Trump train and the Q train and any other train that's telling us to sit on our asses and not defend ourselves. It's the white man's heritage and the white man's responsibility to protect his loved ones, his family. That's our heritage. That's a God-given right. I don't need Trump. I don't need red flag laws. I don't need traitors like the governor of Florida that kisses Jew ass. I don't need anybody's permission to protect my own life and the life of my loved ones. That's a white man's heritage. That's a white man's responsibility. And when the white race finally wakes the hell up, which I hope is in my lifetime, we will turn this thing around. But we have to do it, okay? We have to go find the leaders out there that actually are different. Trump's not different. Trump's one of them. As soon as he said Hillary was good and did a good job, you should have known the game was up. As soon as he did not release the truth about 9/11, you should have known. You should have known, people. As soon as he showed up at the staged events, like at the Parkland shooting and the stuff out in Nevada and all of these are staged Mossad events. Why do you think the Mossad is working so closely with your local police departments and your sheriff's departments? Why do you think some of the major cities are sending their cops over to Israel for training? Mm-hmm. You want them to be just like the Bolsheviks over there that gunned down Palestinian children in the street? They do it every single day. Okay? Yep. That's what you want in America. Israeli-trained murderers in uniform walking around and putting a bullet in your children if they pick up a pebble. Or if they say, well, I don't believe in the Holocaust. They put a bullet in you. That's what they're setting up here. That's what you people want?
I would like to point out that the Jew is pretty much powerless if it isn't for the Freemasonic entity that is using them. They're putting the Jew up front, and they're doing everything Jew, because the only identity that the Jew has, really, as far as people are concerned, is their relationship with the Bible, even though you and I both know that they had nothing to do with Moses or anything, but they were there to try and kill them. And once, and so they put them in front so that discredits Scripture, so that they can have them dead and get, they could remove them and to replace the, this with this Freemasonic satanic entity that they think they can do. But they're the same damn thing, and it's just the same garbage. It's one part of the same serpent trying to kill off another part. It's eating its own tail. So that's kind of what we have, what we're facing here. So,
yeah, absolutely.
When you say Jew, you could say Freemason too.
Yeah. Well, all these secret societies operate in the same. That's why Christ said, identify them by their fruits. Okay, good trees don't produce bad fruit. Okay, the Freemasons all want on the outside to appear like they're philanthropists and doing all this charity stuff. But remember, we're already finding out a lot of these children charities were just a way to round up children, find out what children had no family or had a very poor family that couldn't afford to investigate when they disappear. That's the kind of bullshit that's going on. Just like that guy that just died, Koch, okay? They're saying he was a philanthropist that supported conservative issues. Really? So that's why he worked in collusion with George Soros to promote conservative issues? Okay,
true.
So the media, the talking heads, the Bolshevik media wants you, the stupid-ass white man and woman, to sit out there going, well, David Koch must have been a good guy because they don't like him. They got those guys on the left. They're saying, David Koch is a bad man. He supported conservative stuff. Well, in reality, he was one of them. It's just like this bullshit about, well, I don't like Donald Trump because he's a nationalist. If he was a nationalist, America would have gotten rid of all of our invaders right now. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not 3 years from now. Not 3 months from now. 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we would have closed the borders and got rid of all of the invaders. All right? If he was a true nationalist. He's not a nationalist. He's no more nationalist than my big toe. Folks, you've got to look at the facts. You've got to judge by the fruit and not the words. It's easy to give you smooth-sounding words. That's all these people are good for. Words. They're not backing it up with actions. I'm sorry. People say, well, dude, it's going to happen soon. Really? Well, I've been hearing that for a long time. Phil, has it happened yet? Okay, we've been told since 2016 when he was running, we were going to have all this transparency and the truth of all these subversive things that have been going on by the communists. I mean, General Parton told us about the communists. General Patton told us about the communists. General MacArthur told us about the commies.
Yep.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing it's all being done behind closed doors. Well, stay behind closed doors then. The rest of us are out here in reality. We're getting killed. We're getting raped. We're getting poisoned. We're being invaded. And we got the good guys hiding behind closed doors. Well, stay there then. Stay there because I don't want your help.
I can't understand the kind of contradictory message in that. Because the bad guys are behind closed doors and hidden, and we see all the bad everywhere we go. But the good guys are behind closed doors and they're doing, but we're not seeing anything. I mean, it doesn't seem to make sense to me.
Right, exactly right. So the bad guys do things in secrecy, and we're watching good people die. We're seeing the man and woman in New Jersey that were getting ready to testify against Hillary. Their house goes up in a big explosion. And, wow, the white hats were okay with the media saying it was a gas explosion when it was the Mossad showed up in a utility truck, went in and killed them, set a device in the house, opened up the gas lines, and the house blew up, but everybody went back to sleep. Nobody put the pieces together that two more witnesses against the Hillary crime syndicate in Washington just died in an explosion. No other houses were involved. Just this couple, and it was within a week of them going to testify. Really? No, nothing to see here. Jeffrey Epstein, oh, he killed himself. Really? From hanging from a bed? Are you people really that fucking stupid? Excuse my French, but I'm at the wit's end here, Phil. How stupid can you be?
pretty damn stupid.
What the hell is wrong with white people?
They're being told that it's good to be dumb. That if you watch television, every white person on there is dumber than dirt, and they want to amuse the girls and make them laugh. The girl doesn't care how smart the man is or if he defends them, but if you can make me laugh and I'll have sex with you, that's all you have to do. It is absolutely pathetic, and the white man just swallows it up lock, stock, and barrel. I remember when I was in college, I had met this guy. He was Glenn. He was the son of a family who had built the first delivery pizza joint south of Indianapolis, and his family was pretty well off. I'll explain what happened. I had moved into a house, which I was the dumbest move I had made. And one of the kids' fathers had decided that he was going to be young again after his parents divorced, and he kind of wanted to just get lucky as much as he could. So he decided to go back to school to take a couple classes. And the only thing I hate worse than a liberal is a redneck liberal. And these were all redneck liberals. And this guy had decided to take an Afro-American studies course because he knew that if he could just let these niggers think he could that he cared about them, he could bring one home and screw around with them, which he did in about 2 weeks. And I was getting absolutely livid, and I ended up going and meeting a guy, the Grand Wizard of the Indiana Klan. He was a gigantic fat man who drove a very large Cadillac. And apparently there was an informant there who had informed one of my other roommates, and they had somehow known about it. And all of a sudden, I was a very bad man. Well, Glenn, one of my roommates, and the only reason why I liked him was because he had encouraged me to play baseball, even though I sucked. Before I left the house, I took him out to dinner, and I explained to him the truth about the Union League and what had been done by the blacks against the white race, and why the KKK had been founded in the first place, because they had been their lands were taken away, their women were being killed, and they had to have some kind of resistance. And he said, "Do you know the KKK? They hung people from trees." I said, "Do you know what those damn niggers did? And you know why they did it?" And he said, "I never heard anything about the New Union League. They don't say that. I've never heard that in school." And I said, "There's a reason why you never heard that." And he says, "You don't have a PhD. You don't have, you know, they know a lot more than you do." I says, "No, they're being taught what to tell you. They're removing certain things to make you feel good. And your roommate is violating the race just so he can get his rocks off." And this is what absolutely pissed me off. I asked him, "Where do you get your information from?" And he says, "Well, I've only really read one book." And I said, "What is it?" "Helter Skelter by Charles Manson." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" Well, the last time I heard about him, he worked at a law firm in Georgia, and I just wanted to scream how stupid these people could be. And I remember coming home one day after sitting in a library studying and trying to read a book and trying to protect our white race. And I come home, and they say, "Phil, can you go in the refrigerator and get me a beer?" And I go in and get them a beer, and I walk in there, and Glenn is laying on the sofa, let's just say playing with himself under his sweatpants, and his best friend Kenny, who was the son of that guy that was sleeping with niggers, that are watching the Cub Cardinal game, and since Kenny was a big Cub fan and Glenn was a big Cardinal fan, apparently he was getting he said, "Man, it's so exciting when the Cubs and Cardinals play. I just can't take it. This is so exciting." And he had a very hard erection under his sweatpants, and I just wanted to vomit, and that's how I left the house.
That's sick. That's beyond sick.
I know.
Here's another thing. I hate it when they distort history. Facts. Just give me the damn facts. Don't give me your damn rhetoric and your agenda. Just the facts, okay? Well, I've read enough stuff on the Klan, and I also have known Klansmen. I've been to some Klan rallies because I wanted to find out for myself. And that's why I read the books, and I attended and listened to them, and it made perfect sense. So the stories that I had read and the books I had read that made the most sense, the Klan, first of all, the Klansmen wore robes because to be in the Klan, you would have been hung. If the powers that be found out you were a Klansman in the beginning, they would have the Union would have found you and killed you. They wore the robes to keep their identity. In fact, they even put robes on their horses. Okay? A lot of people don't even know that. They kept their horses because you could identify a lot of horses by their coloring or a brand. And so they put the robes over their horses as well. Now, when you were, and also they had a cross with a red drop of blood in the middle of it, because this was a Christian organization. It was a Christian army protecting the Southerners from what the Northerners under the influence of the Bolshevik Jew was doing. All right, wake the hell up, people. When you were doing something wrong, whether you were black, white, or any other color, that's another thing. The Klan did not only go after Jews and black people. That's bullshit. If you were doing something wrong, raping, robbing, or abusing your wife, not taking care of your children, there was a host of things. The Klan would put the cross and light it in your yard. That was your warning that you better stop whatever you're doing. They didn't just come in and drag you out and hang you in a tree. They put the cross with the fire to let you know that we're on to you, and if you don't straighten up the next time we come, we will bring a rope. That's the way it was done. So if you continue to beat your wife, if you continue to starve your children, if you continue to rape little children, if you continue to be a pedophile, we will come the next time and we will hang you. Because there was no other law for white people in the South. A lot of people say that they hope the Klan rises again. We could only be so lucky to have the Klan rise again, because the white man has no advocate anywhere else today. You should be so lucky as to have brave white men take to the streets and protect their women and children, because there's sure as hell nobody doing it today. And if they are, you need to tell me about it. Hold on a minute. I think we might have somebody with a question here. This new system is garbage. So I can't tell. Okay, Caucasian guy. Oops. My screen jumped around here. Okay. Caucasian guy, can you hear me? Hello? Did you have a question? Okay. Apparently not. See, I'm trying to get used to this beta version, and it's completely different than the old version, so it's... I apologize for the learning curve on it, but it's... you know, you would think when people come out with a beta version... Phil, wouldn't you say it's safe to assume that they've improved the previous version? Isn't that the way it's supposed to work? A lot of this new stuff, like updates to Windows 10, updates to this, now updates to free conference call, the new version looks different, has a few things that are improvement, but in a lot of basic ways, it's worse. It's crazy. Oh, wait a minute. I lost Phil. Hold on a minute. Oh, what the hell? Good grief. See? Hold on until I figure this thing out, Phil. All right, now I think I finally got... Okay, now can you hear me, Phil?
Yeah, just to let you know that you knocked me off hold, and then I got back on, so...
But yeah, no, it wasn't supposed to do that, but okay, now I figured...
You're right about that. In 1925, the the Klan had completely ruled Indiana. And if you read your history, they kind of mock it in the Jew media. And my grandmother, was in high school at that time, and she absolutely loved the fact that the country, that the state had been nice and safe and secure. And although she didn't want to say it, but she was very happy about it. And if you ever watch the Birth of a Nation, you'll see what happened. And this is what they're trying to do. They're pushing us to the point where we have no choice, and we really have no choice at this point. The Union League was made up of a bunch of Jews, carpetbaggers, and they used a lot of Negroes from the Union Army in order to instill their power base. Whenever you watch an election, you'll see an announcement. You know, first black congressman from Georgia, first black this, first black that since Reconstruction. And you wonder why, and that is because the blacks have been allowed to be put in power because the Republicans who were actually from were founded by a group known as the 48ers, which were a group of global communists that were brought over from Europe. They thought they could use slavery as a means of changing the government and replacing God with and the church with the state, and they were going to use the black as their puppet to do so, which worked very well until the black decided that he wanted to have these nations of Islam or whatever you want to call it. He wanted to actually rule separately, and so what happened was that they were not cooperating with the Republicans, and so this eventually allowed the Jim Crow laws to be put in place. And the Jim Crow laws were actually beneficial for the black man because what they did was they separated the authority of the white and the black. It wasn't just that the black man could not go for a white, you know, it was black man could not go into a white store. A white man could not go into a black store, which meant that the two of them were forced had to work independently, and the black was forced to learn from the white man's example, which is what God intends them to do. And so the black man's economic status went from nothing to a higher level than at any rate in human history, all because he had been able to do it on his own. But then in the 1960s, when that damn piece of garbage LBJ had put in his Great Society program, and he said that these damn niggers will be loving us for the next 200 years, the changes had begun, and they had taken over. And they were now having to force the white man to give the black man everything he wants, and now the black man is just a parasite, and that is exactly what we're having here, and it's just becoming worse and worse and worse. So.
Well, we're near the end. That's all I do know. How this all plays out, I don't have the playbook. Father hasn't revealed that to me, but I can tell you that we're near the end. We're near the end of this age. And again, you don't need a Bible. I'm suggesting that white people, for the benefit of our race, put the Bible down, okay? Stop playing church.
Yep.
Okay? Because we're wasting energy and precious time arguing about minutia in what we call the scriptures when you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You can't even identify the fact that you have Bolshevism invading your land, and you're going to sit here and argue scripture? You don't even have the common sense that God gave to the animal kingdom. They protect their children. They stay kind after kind when man doesn't get involved. They've got more sense than we do. And you're sitting here playing church. You're repeating scripture that's written in English when the original was written in Greek. If you really want to be honest, why don't you go study Greek? At least you would be a lot closer so that when you see the word brother, adelphos, and the word brother means in the Greek language from the same womb, meaning from a white woman's womb, that's who my brother is, you would know that. But in the English language, the word brother doesn't carry that connotation, does it? You see? We're being just like pharmakia. If you understood Greek, you would know that the word pharmacy comes from the Greek word. It means drugs used in sorcery and black magic. Imagine that. Yep. If you understood that the stuff you're putting in your body is drugs used in sorcery and black magic. But then again, you don't study Greek. You think that the English is the right one, the one that says don't commit adultery, and you morons think it has something to do with marital status. And at this point in time, after being on the radio for 2 decades, and many other teachers like Bertrand Comparé, who was a trained lawyer in California clear back in the 1960s, have been telling white people this. And you still don't get it. Put your Bibles away. They're not doing you any damn good anyway. You don't know shit from Shinola, as my mother used to say.
It's beautiful, Dan. That's true. You know. Here's how utterly foolish that reading and thinking you know better than what than common sense is. I remember when I was on some silly date site. They had these questions that I was supposed to answer in the right way in order to get the right woman for me. And one of them asked, explain to me the sun and the moon. Is the sun the same size as the moon, or is the sun many times bigger than the moon, or does it not matter? And so if I say to you that if you walk outside and you look at the moon and you look at the sun and you can clearly see that they're the same size, and you'll think, oh, that's stupid, because you read it in some stupid-ass NASA book, and they'll tell you that the sun is millions and millions of miles away, but much, 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 much bigger, and therefore, and if you don't know that, you're just not educated enough, you're stupid, and yet you can look up there and common sense will tell you that they're exactly the same thing, and so you're being blind by the word, but but what you see in front of you is completely different.
The other ludicrous thing about that whole argument? Okay? There's a thing called a vanishing point, and people don't even take that into consideration. That's what kills me. Okay? Just look it up, people. It's called a vanishing point. It means that your eyeballs are not capable of focusing on anything. It doesn't matter if it's 1 billion times the size of the sun that they claim, okay? It doesn't matter. If it's millions of miles away, your eyes cannot see beyond the vanishing point. Do you understand that? Okay? Mm-hmm. So right there on the face of it, if people would just stop thinking too much and listening to the bullshit on television and think, wait a minute, there's a vanishing point. It doesn't matter how big something is. If it's beyond the vanishing point, you can't see it.
Yep. And you learn about the vanishing point whenever you take an art class and they teach you perspective. It's you draw the line, you put the dot down there, you put the little square, and you make it three-dimensional, and you build a building. I had a friend of mine who was a very good artist. And he was very able to understand the vanishing point, but he absolutely refused to believe anything that the Baltars didn't tell him, because it went against his fantasy of having all the science fiction garbage that he'd been fed by all these crap morons like Isaac Asimov and Arthur C. Clarke and all those other ones, and so it would destroy his fantasy of being out in space, and he didn't want to live in this world and everything. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And I remember he called me once, and he said, I have a problem with women. They just don't like me, and I don't have, and I hate women because all they want is money, and I'm not good enough, good looking enough. And he said, so I decided that I'm going to do something else. And he said, I want you to see what I'm thinking about doing. And he sent me this site about this love doll he wanted to have made up just like Princess Diana that he had this crazy passion for, and he would actually send her a Christmas card every year and a birthday card, and the Buckingham Palace would send him a thank you letter. And I told him, I said, this is the dumbest thing I ever thought you'd do in your life. This is absolutely stupid. How dumb can you be? And he said, well, I guess I'll go to some communist country. And so he went to China, and he met this girl, and he says, she's got this girlfriend, she's really pretty. I said, she's Chinese, she's not your type, she's not white, because all he previously wanted white women, but she didn't speak very good English, And he brought her over here too because he couldn't keep his rocks in his pants, and he just decided to bring her over here, and they ended up having a child together she got pregnant within like a month, which is exactly what I'd expected, and then she ended up going over to China, and they told her since she's polluted, they won't allow her back in the country. She was actually in a really wealthy family with many children because they had paid the government in order to have them. And so she came back and told him, "This is the dumbest mistake in my life. I should have never married you. I hate your guts. I need to get out of here." And so she left him there with their daughter all by himself. And she moved to Las Vegas. She wanted to become a car dealer, but she ended up working in a massage parlor. And he won't even speak to me now because he knew I was right. He said, "Phil, we had the worst kind of marriage." He said, "I was on my computer and she was on hers. We never really talked." I said, "I told you that was going to happen. Can't you listen to me? Can't you defend your race?" I said, "When you don't do that, you get screwed, and you got screwed bad." And from that point on, he never could talk to me. He was just too embarrassed. He was ashamed.
I have two people that I know personally, very similar. The one guy was a tall, white engineer, worked in a Pennsylvania power plant. He married an American Indian, and the two of them had two children. By the time they were teenagers, they were having mental problems, racial mental problems, a lot of consternation, especially the female. In the end, she left him, and she told him, "I'm going back to my people." So he lived that life, created two children of mixed race who are mentally incapacitated now for the rest of their life, and, for what? Because they just won't listen. And now I've got a current friend who, he's older, he just retired from a very, very large military industrial complex type company, and he's married to Japanese. Now, he was married to white women before, but this time around, he decided he was going to be smarter than God. So he found this little Oriental gal about 12 years or 11 years younger than him. And they get married, and she was making a really good salary at whatever job she had. And back in Japan, of course, the family was not very happy. They wanted her to marry a doctor or somebody of Japanese origin, obviously. But they did concede that, well, if you're going to marry outside of our race, the only race we will accept, of course, is the Caucasian. If you marry a respectable Caucasian male, and he was a design engineer and he was making good money. So they accepted, but now he's living in hell because once he married her, she quit working. She just drives the really nice, pretty red Mercedes two-seater sports car he bought her around, doing whatever she wants to do, and whatever he wants to do, basically he can go to hell. So now he's got this little arm candy that he married, but he's living in hell because she's making him pay for everything. She's not bringing any income in. She's doing whatever she wants day to day, and as a side note, he ain't getting any, all right? So he's paying for all this, but he ain't getting any, all right? So here again, you people want to violate God's law, then you go right ahead, because my job is not sit here and debate with you. My job is simply to tell you the facts. Does it mean that everything's going to be hunky-dory because you go with your own kind? No, we have problems. All of us have problems. There's nothing in Scripture, there's nothing even in common sense that says that you're guaranteed a life that's going to be a bed of roses. So adversity and things not going well or whatever, those things happen from time to time. But at least within your own kind, you have similarities and you have you don't have that spiritual disconnection. You can have that connection, that synergy. That's not there in these other races. Every race mixed couple I've ever met, that energy's not there. It just isn't. They may pretend, they may put on the face that everything is good, but I'm going to tell you, no, it's not. Okay? No, it's not. And so, you can, just like the food laws, I know people hate hearing about Yahweh's food laws, But like I said, you put the Bible up on the shelf, okay? Because what I'm telling you comes straight out of the natural health classes. It's just ironic that the natural health instructors told us to obey certain rules about what we eat, and it's just a coincidence that it matches the food laws. That's just a coincidence, okay? So you don't need to worry about the Bible. We're not going to argue about that because, after all, you people think that the law was nailed to the cross, which means you can do whatever the hell you want. And yet the natural health, the instructors at the natural health classes are basically telling you exactly what the Bible says. Your food is your medicine. Certain animals are not to be eaten, such as rabbits because of the parasites, pigs because of trichinosis, and other issues with it. Okay, right out of the mouth of the instructors, and these were not identity teachers. They're just telling you what's good for your health. So again, take your Bible, since you've got this cognitive dissonance over the Bible, and put it on the shelf. Let's just talk facts. Let's just talk rational thinking. Let's talk empirical evidence. Let's talk scientific studies, which all support everything we're talking about, but we're not going to use the scripture anymore because you people just want to sit around and bitch and moan and complain and backstab one another and gossip and all the other things white people want to do while the Bolshevik is eating our lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The system that we have here, that this Judeo system that we have, completely goes against anything that is nature, that is natural, because the way they market this system by the Jew is that they argue that if you teach anything that's natural, you must be a pagan and you must be worshiping the earth in some way. So they're much rather you go after using plastics and smell not like a human being. And if you teach about race, you must be, you know, you definitely must be a pagan or something, because they were the ones that taught race, and if we get rid of that, we'll just end the hatred. And you have this with the food laws, or not following them, I should say, and you have every single thing about our society is based on our society is based on living in a sort of Star Trek world, where you're where everything is all pristine and clean. It's all artificial and fake.
Yep, absolutely.
So it ends up killing us. We can't even breed. I mean, how bad can it be?
Yeah, I know. let me see. Gary, I think, has something to say. Let me see if I can get him, and I'll bring you right back. If I can get this.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good. I think we still got Phil, too. Phil, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, it worked this time. Thank goodness. All right, Gary, go ahead.
How's everything in Florida today?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's right at the moment that we're in between rainstorms, so.
I saw on the Weather Channel that it is working water over there from the sky. And over here, it's the same. We live in left-wing communist California. Still the same.
I'm sorry.
Left-wing communist California. San Diego, right next to the border. But anyway, you guys were talking about mixing the seed. And I've noticed that, first of all of your charities were from the churches. You know, you take care of your children, children's hospital, and things like that, a long time ago. Then the Jews, they didn't like going to a Christian charity church or hospital, so they started their own, the March of Dimes, you know, by that Jerry Lewis who stole most of the money. And on down the line, all these so-called charities were now run by the Bolsheviks. And I've noticed that most of the deformities in the bodies that are out there, the arm, they're born without an arm or a foot, or they're mentally retarded, are usually Bolshevik. They're not Caucasians, is a rule. So, and we understand that Bolsheviks, trace them all the way back, of course, Edom, usually from race mixing. And I've heard sermons from Pastor Dan about how these people were a race-mixed people. And it shows, because all the deformities that we're having in the United States is from that. You know, you mix the genes, and the genes get confused.
So, we not only have that because of race mixing and the mixing of DNA that doesn't belong together, but now we're finding out that a lot of this microwave energy through cell towers and different things such as that, there's also studies showing that that is further reducing sperm counts, reducing libido, causing confusion, causing damage to the DNA structures. I mean, we're literally destroying ourselves on this earth, much like the scriptures do say that Christ said that if I didn't come and restore order when I did, that no flesh would be saved. We're very close to that point.
Well, when I was in sports, I was a fighter, and what they were trying to do, of course, is get the white fighters beat and have only the black fighters. But they didn't need to do that because blacks, they have a thicker skull. Their coordination are a lot better. There are a lot of things that they're good in. That's one of them is sports. We're meant for farming and doing inventions, things of that nature. And I've noticed that if you watch TV, they're always trying to popularize football. And football players are usually what? Black. Okay, we're going to go to basketball. Usually basketball players are what? Black. So they're trying to make these people, you watch TV, and it's always about the black. You see an advertisement. There's a black guy with the advertisement. They're trying to put these black people ahead of us. And we're the ones that created everything. Civilization. George Washington was not black. Neither was Jefferson. You go on down the line.
He owned slaves.
Well, that's all right. You know, everybody did that in that day. The problem with it is we shouldn't have had slaves, but who brought the slaves over here? The Jews. Or, as Pastor Dan would say, the Bolsheviks. They brought them over here. And where'd they get them from? They got them I call them ragheads, camel riders. They bought them from the chiefs of the tribes because they'd fight each other and capture some from this tribe, and they'd sell them for rum. And then, of course, the Arabs would, of course, give them rum, and they would give them the slaves, and then the Arabs would sell them to the Jews. And the Jews always made sure that they had molasses, whatever it is, to make the rum. So it wasn't us that brought them over here. It was us that was stupid enough to keep them here.
Well, let's not also forget that many of the owners of the black slaves here in America were themselves black. At the beginning of the Civil War, the two largest owners of black slaves in Virginia were two black businessmen.
And they also owned white slaves.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The Jew paints history in whatever fashion he wants to get the white people to believe whatever bullshit story they've got cucked up. It's historicity that is what we should be studying, and then we would be armed with the truth. And what did Messiah tell us? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Set you free from what? Jewish propaganda. Because all the flat screens are. The flat screens are nothing more than the image of the beast, the image controlled by the beast, which is to get you to believe a lie. That's what they are.
Well, it says that Satan is a deceiver. Beware, because he's a deceiver. and he is the prince of the air. And what do you think that thing is, that flat screen? It's air, airways. So there, everything that he says in there. Now, I believe that you were right when you said most people have to put their scriptures on the shelf because they don't know how to discern it. They don't study it in depth. You know, I got my boss that I work for once in a while, he's a JW. I can't believe the crap that comes out of his mouth. 16 scholars put this thing that they have called the New World Translation together. That thing is so full of, they even admit it, or I know that you're familiar with this, Pastor Dan, is in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, the way they did it, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was a God. Right there, and it's in brackets. It tells you it's an insert. And you point it out to them, you know, it's a, I can't, but anyway, I see what you've done is you guys have created two gods. Oh, no, there's only one God. When you put that A in there, it's two gods. Now, my wife, I showed it to her. She went to college and took English in college. And she says, I can't remember the name of what she called that, the A. But that's what it is. And it transforms the whole sentence and paragraph there. It's just, you have now two gods. You tell right. them that, and they don't believe that. Well, right before their eyes. That shows you how stupid we are.
Well, we are in deep, 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 deep trouble. And I don't know what it's going to take to wake the white race up. I really don't. It's,
you go back to the, what do they call it, the Tartagram or something like that? The first Bible that everything was written off of?
The and Torah said, or the Pentateuch?
Not the Pentateuch. There's the other. It's called the Targum.
Oh, okay.
And the Targum, it says right in there, you're not the race mix. You don't do that. Well, what do they think it means when it says, when he's talking about the plants, you know, you have to be kind after kind. First of all, trees represent families. But so then they say, oh, well, he meant plants. Well, you just don't mix the plants and the animals, but it's okay for you to mix?
Well, guess what? We're mixing plants anyway today, too. We're mixing
yeah.
everything.
And then
I'd like to step in here and give you a little story about my father that I'm currently writing about.
That a little louder.
Explain how I'm currently writing about. He had joined the army, and then he had been recalled. His unit had been recalled back at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he had gotten his degree in limnology, which is a branch of biology which studies rivers, lakes, and streams. And he was in Louisiana, and he told me about this years ago, or shortly before he passed away. He says, "Phil, I don't want you to tell your mother about this, but I'm going to tell you this anyway." He was an electrician, and they were at this river, and they decided to have a little fun, and they got out some primacord and they threw it across the river. And he said, "I'm going to just blow this big spume of water up in the air." He thought it was going to be kind of fun, and he lit the fuse, and the thing blew up, and it was this big, huge pile of water. But then there was a whole bunch of dead fish that floated down the stream, and people started calling, wondering if there was going to be some toxic waste or something like that, which is kind of ironic because he was fighting to get rid of all that toxic waste. And so he gets back into his car, goes back to his car, and he and his other soldiers, and they'd left the back gate open, and a big alligator had gotten inside of the thing, and he looked there, and the gator was sitting in the front seat with his head up there above the steering wheel and his arms holding the steering wheel, and he thought it was going to ask for him to give him the keys, and so he had to wrestle the gator away. And then after they had exhausted themselves to get the gator, they drove down. They drove down the to go get a drink, and one of them decided that they should go to this seedy strip bar just to get a beer, and they get it, go in there, and this big black woman with these big boobs kept trying to put her hands all over my father and trying to kiss him, and he was like, this is the most disgusting thing I ever saw, and all of his fellow soldiers were just laughing at it because they knew he absolutely couldn't stand race mixing. And he said, Phil, you must understand something, that God is telling me that even with a scientist, when you're just simply trying to have fun and be like a kid and make something cool happen, you can have these consequences where the fish die, the gator runs into the car, and then you end up having to be kissed by some nigger.
Jesus.
That was a bad deal all the way around.
Yeah. So, and the ironic part about it is that he had given expert testimony in two Supreme Court cases regarding international water or interstate water pollution, and decide who was to blame for all this criminal activity. And he had also gone overseas to as far as Brazil and the Philippines in order for them to clean up their water. And he once had gone to a fancy black tie event in Washington, D.C., and my mother says that he got a little drunk, and he got on his table and started cussing them out and calling them a bunch of bastards, and they better fix things. She said he was drunk, but I would never loved him more than that. So there you go.
Yep. And so do you remember who he said was responsible for the pollution of the waters?
It was. I don't remember. I don't know specifically. It was some companies, but it was determining where to blame on the states and things like that.
Oh.
And I don't know specifically. I never actually read those cases. I want to look them up. So he actually
testified in front of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, what happens? How the Supreme Court works is that while they have their trial, they'll have a preliminary trial, and then what they do is they get expert testimony to talk to them, like, you know, one on one with the justices, and then they give them their information, and the justices try and collect that information, and then they come to their conclusion, and that's what my father had done in two cases. And I remember I asked him once. I said, "What was your rank?" And he said, "I was a spec 4." What does that mean? I didn't like these numbers. He says, "Oh, it's a corporal." I said, "Oh, okay. My German father with black hair was a corporal. Gee, that's probably kind of cool, isn't it?"
That sort of sounds like somebody else we know.
Yeah, we know somebody else that fits that description. Yeah,
and somebody who loved nature, and he understood the order of nature and how it's structured. And I'd brought this up in my little story I'm working for, because when he had come over to visit, he had met the race mix couple across the street, and he hated to deal with them. He just did not want to deal with them at all. He said, no, because he lived in Wisconsin, and the only people there were Germans and Polish people, and that was pretty much, and maybe a few Norwegians, and so he didn't want to have anything to do with that. He lived by the lake, and everybody else was white, or they were some sort of nice animal.
Wow. All right. Well, we're 2.5 hours into this one, and I'm getting a little bit parched here, and I'm still dealing with a little bit of a stomach issue. So if we could, let's try to wrap this one up for today, and then if we need to, we can continue it on with the next program. So any closing ideas, Gary?
Well, I just know that people should recognize when they advertise on TV, they want your money, because, for instance, the first one that comes to mind is to send it to Israel, to the poor Jews that are starving. I suggest that they look into the multi-billions that the Jews have through their Jewish billionaires. And then that's number one. Number two, like we were talking about, when you have deformities in people based on race mixing, don't let them fool you into race mixing. It's okay, we're all human beings, we're all the same, we're all equal. That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's right.
Because once you start race mixing, you're going to have deformities. You're going to have things that aren't going to be right. What am I going to do with my child? They don't have an arm. Well,
and if anybody investigates it with an open mind and is actually seeking the truth, there's plenty of scientific studies and stuff that support what we're talking about. It's not like it's hidden stuff. It's out there. It's just that most people don't give a damn. They would rather sit on their fat ass watching their boob tube and believe that the boob tube is going to tell them what they need to know. It's just pure and simple laziness. Or insouciance, if you want a 25-cent word for it. It's insouciance.
Watch football games.
Yeah.
There's another thing. A lot of people say, well, the Bible has nothing to say about race mixing. I says, you better, what is it, Deuteronomy? It's in Deuteronomy, and it's the second verse. I can't remember which chapter it's in. That says that a bastard shall not inherit the kingdom, or cannot go into the kingdom, even till his 10th generation, he can't go. Now, what's a bastard? So you look it up in Strong's, it means mongrel or mongrelized.
Right.
So what that means? That means race mixing, folks. You know, when you see your little blue-eyed blonde daughter going with that nig and saying, oh, the Bible has nothing to say with it. Yes, it does. It says that whatever they produce is going to be a mongrel. And it can't come into the congregation.
They rely on the Baal priest down at that whitewashed sepulcher called a church to justify, because he'll tell them whatever makes them feel good. As long as they keep putting money in the plate and keep showing up, then he has a cushy job, and he does. And the state supports him. The Bolsheviks support him because he's doing his job, setting up the sheep for the slaughter. So that's what they'll come back and they'll say, well, that man of God with the seminary degree told me, as if that means he's telling the truth.
Cemetery,
that's right.
Well, you know,
Pastor,
I just want to wish you the best and your guests the best. Yahweh bless you both.
Yep, Yahweh bless you, Harry. Take care.
Yah bless.
Phil, any closing comments, buddy?
I don't know what else to say, except it's been an honor to be on your show. I hope that more people will listen to this program. And anything that I can do to contribute, I'm more than willing to do so. I've been working on a few little stories, and if I've got so many tales to tell, it would take me, the rest of my life to do them. And so I don't think I need to say a prayer, because this show is my prayer. And so I know Father understands exactly what I'm saying, and I'm not going to give any more quotes that have been overly used in Scripture, because it's no longer necessary. So if you haven't got it yet, you never will. And it's a fight the good fight, and we will win in the end. And,
amen.
I promise that. And
yep.
I thank you so much.
Yep. Yeah, Yahweh bless, Phil. Thanks a lot, and Yahweh bless your heart.
Thank you.
And Phil's right. We're in a racial war. Paul Craig Roberts, if you don't want to believe us, just go read the article recently put up by Paul Craig Roberts, who was a high-level individual in the Reagan administration, well-respected researcher, and he just recently put it out himself that this is a all-out attempt at white genocide. So wake the hell up, people. That's why I'm saying, if you need to put the Bible up on the shelf, so that we can get along and form ranks to defend our loved ones and ourselves and our property, which is a God-given right. And it's not only a right, it's a responsibility. It's a commandment. Get your rifles and get ready. Put the Bibles away. All the theology's done. All the arguing is over. All you need to agree on is that your race, and you have a right to live, and you have a right to raise your families as you see fit. You have a right to tell you what's put in your body. You have a right to be armed. You have a right to property. You have a right to exist in the future. And you have a right to associate with who you see fit. And you have a right to go after criminals yourself. You don't need to wait around for some dipshit with a uniform. Okay? That's what the enemy wants you to think, because they control the uniforms. When are we going to understand that we were put here to be in charge, not take orders from our enemies? We were put here to be in charge. Figure out who your local leaders are, who are your local militia leaders that you can trust, who are the local sheriffs that understand their proper duty and the rights that they have under the Constitution. Start putting that all together, folks, because this is a war to the bitter end. And if you haven't seen that yet, shame on you. Your eyes are sealed shut. You have a conscience that is seared over. Yes, that's in your precious scripture. You have a conscience that's seared over. That's a biblical way of saying it's like a scab over your conscience. It's so thick, reason can't get in. Empirical evidence can't get in. Scientific studies can't get in. IQ level can't get in. Because you want to believe the lie. And you shall perish. The Bolsheviks have your number. They've already decided what they'll do to you, your wives, your children, your family, just like they did to the poor Russians 100 years ago. Alexander Solzhenitsyn's got it all documented, if you have enough guts to read it. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, and we ask that your protection be on your sons and daughters, those that truly love you and love the truth over fiction, who want to see a change for the betterment of this world, who want to see this poor earth saved from these blood-sucking monsters called international bankers that only give a damn about making money. They don't care what forests they destroy. They don't care what homes are destroyed. They don't care what people are destroyed. They are literally monsters. And the men that you put here to stop all this are sitting on their asses waiting for some oligarch in the kakistocracy of Washington, D.C. and the other capitals of the world as if they're going to solve the problem with their monies full of shekels from the people that created the problem. We are truly that deceived. We were put here to fix the problems. When are we going to decide enough is enough? Think about it. Father, we know we don't deserve your help, but we're asking for your help. We're asking for the Holy Spirit to reach down and guide us and give us good discernment, because we can't trust. We can't trust anything in writing. We can't trust anything that's being spoken to us in this latter time. The deception is that great. Even the elect would be deceived, but we're not deceived because we have direct communication with you. Reach down. We'll get to a quiet place. We'll turn off the damn electronics. We'll turn off the television and the radio. We'll turn off our neighbors and the gossipers that are in our lives. Walk away from them and go to a quiet place. And tune in to the Holy Father. He will tell you what's what. Again, forgive us our sins. Forgive us the things that we do that we shouldn't. Watch over us and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.